much about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
We got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Here's the next question about Sloan as we get to know Sloan this season on Entourage. Does she have a webcam? Hello?
Be the interview killer.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
He seems like a tool.
So what part of the Bible tells you to say all this kind of stuff here in the chat? I'd love to suck play and suck play with like and lick nipples and licking. And where is that in the Bible? Explain that to me.
There's a human part.
Is that the Old
that
Testament
sins.
Or the New Testament?
No. I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Our feature presentation.
Everybody knows that's in Genesis. No, I didn't come up with that.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. You can give us a call right now. Get a free Kevin and Bean t-shirt for being on the air at 1-800-520-1067. By the way, it's funny. Speaking of Chris Hansen, the host of the Dateline NBC To Catch a Predator show, we were just hearing his voice in that interview right there. When I tuned in for the spelling bee the other day, I looked up at the guide and I thought that Chris Hansen was hosting the show. And I thought, that's just inappropriate, putting Chris Hansen on a show with a bunch of sixth graders. What's the deal?
Maybe he's undercover. Maybe he's checking because he tries to catch pedophiles.
That could
check
be.
The audience. Yeah. See who shows up who doesn't have kids in the competition, right?
Sure. Hey, sir, do you have a kid? I don't think so. You're out.
Oh, that would have been so awesome. Yeah. Well, then upon closer examination, I realized it was Chris Harrison, who's the guy, the host of The Bachelor. He was the guy who was hosting it for ABC.
I thought you said you recognized him. His name came up and you said that.
Yeah, I saw his name on the screen and I thought, well, why would they get Chris Hansen for this job, although your idea makes a lot more sense, by the way. They should put him in there. No one would ever suspect that he was there actually just, you know, checking out the crowd.
Undercover Sting. That'd be great.
Exactly. Yeah, great idea. Hey, real quick, before we go to the calls, here's a question for you. And I love news stories like this because they do kind of force you to think, what would you do if you're ruling things? And Kevin, of course, always tells us he'd be a great president, so maybe he'd be the guy to decide on this one. They just arrested an American in Pakistan. They found him out in the woods. And he had with him a gun, a 40-inch sword, and he said that he was there because he was tired of waiting for Osama bin Laden to get caught, and he had flown to Pakistan to find him and kill him himself.
All right.
I heard about that. He's a construction worker.
Yeah.
He had night vision goggles. He
couldn't That's right.
get into the country.
I like it.
He got arrested before he got into the country.
Oh, did he really?
No. He brought he had the Bible with him and a bunch of Christian verses and stuff like that. And, you know, it's one of those deals where the world would be a better place had he gotten through and succeeded. But I understand some people's reticence to maybe just let random people decide who they're going to kill and why. So it's one of those thorny issues. Like, what do you do? How do you rule in this case? You fur or again?
So if he would have accomplished his task, we would not have charged him with murder. That's what you're saying. We would have said,
well done. I'm asking, would you endorse his effort, even though in the big picture you don't want people deciding, hey, I'm going to go out and kill that guy because I think he should be dead. But in the little picture, it's freaking Osama bin Laden, and good news for everybody. So what do you do with this guy?
Am I just me or am I the president? I have two different answers. If I'm just me, go for it, dude.
Let him go.
Take him out. Go
what
get him.
Are his
good luck.
Odds of fight.
One trillion.
Yes.
But he can't do any worse than we're already doing with the thousands of other people who have been looking for him.
Right, but those guys are professionals. They know the landscape. I mean, if anyone's going to find him, they are eventually. But I don't mind this guy going.
You say that, but do you guys remember about 5-6 years ago in that Max Factor era? I think his name was Andrew Luster.
Okay, yeah.
He went on the run, and the government, all the agencies of the government, had no ability to find this guy. They could not do it no matter what. And Dog the Bounty Hunter found him in like a week.
Yeah.
And went down there and got it. You know what I'm saying? So the private sector sometimes can be pretty good at manhunting.
Yes, but this guy is not Dog the Bounty Hunter.
No, he is not.
He's just a
dude. He was trying to get on a plane with a samurai sword and a gun.
Right. But here's my other thought about that. Oh, by the way, if I'm the president, you can't do it.
No, you can't do that.
Here's the other thought about that, though, is that here's a guy with a gun and a samurai sword. I want him out of this country. So that's
well,
good.
Well, that's a good
Let's
point.
Let him go.
And Bible verses.
Let's let him go wherever he
yeah,
wants to go and do whatever he wants to do.
But I don't think he's any – I don't know anything about this guy beyond what I've just seen in this brief news report. But I don't think he's a threat to anyone in the United States with the night vision and the gun and the sword.
You're basing
I think
that
he has
on
a,
what?
The fact that he – I'm basing that on the only thing I do know about his intent to kill is he has a specific target in mind who is Osama bin Laden.
Okay.
And unless Osama bin Laden is seen in a Wendy's in Cincinnati, I don't think I've got to worry about this guy killing anybody over here.
All right, let me ask you this question, and maybe this will change your opinion on whether we should be afraid. How many people do you know that have a samurai sword? I mean, really, isn't that list pretty small?
Anyone who does what he did is not right in the head.
Right.
You're just not. You're not
just,
thinking straight.
Listen,
you're armed.
Bring two guns. What are you going to do with the samurai sword?
Behead him, I'm sure.
Why don't you ask that porn actor a couple weeks ago who killed a dude with a samurai sword? He had one. That's
yeah.
a pretty effective weapon.
Yeah, I'm sure it is at close range if the other person doesn't have anything, but... But, yeah, I don't listen. He has a samurai sword and a weapon. Let's let him go. Go.
Okay.
Godspeed. Enjoy
right.
yourself.
So go kill Osama bin Laden and then stay in Pakistan. That's your rule.
Correct. Yeah.
I like
okay.
it.
You do have to stay
all right.
There.
Well done.
We'll burn you. We'll disavow all knowledge of you.
Burn notice.
All right. It's time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call. You get on the air. You get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
As mentioned, Kevin Bean T-shirt up for grabs for being on the air with us today. Oh, I'm so sad. Miss Cleo put up a call of somebody who wanted to talk about the Angles who lost their game last night. But unfortunately, that call is gone. We lost. I like those Angles.
She is not the spelling bee champion.
No, I did not see her on the show the other night.
No.
All right. Why don't we start with our man Anthony? He is on line one on the Kevin and Bean show. Hey, Anthony. Thanks for calling. What it do?
Good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
No, I just wanted to give you guys a call and let you guys know you guys are doing a great job. But listen, hey, the president's going to be up on TV later on today at 5 p.m. our time.
Yep.
Okay.
He's going to brief us on what's going on over there in New Orleans.
Okay.
You mean he's talking about the BP oil spill is what you're talking about?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So they're going to let us know that how Big Brother is going to come in, step in, and you know, help us clean up the mess down there. But I think BP pretty much has it in place right now, you know?
Well, they have. I will say this for them. They've handled it brilliantly.
They're doing a heck of a job, Brownie.
So I don't understand what the purpose of your call is. It's just a television programming alert. Hey, if you want to hear the president talk about the oil spill, you should tune into TV tonight. Is that what you're calling about?
No, I just think it's hilarious how the president is going to come in and let us know what they're going to be able to do.
Oh, so you're mocking him? You think the government is not doing a good job? And
absolutely.
Okay, all right.
And they're going to let us know tonight that they have a brilliant plan to take care of this problem when. You know, they haven't been able to help us out with what's going on right now.
Yeah, I
don't think he's going to talk about the actual oil that is still spewing out, that those plans are in place. He's going
to
be talking about compensation
to
for people
who, yeah.
That are in the region that have lost their living.
Right. They sure have tried a lot of things, BP, very few of which have made very much of an impact. It does seem like this is the type. Look, I don't know anything about anything. But it does seem like this is the type of thing, if you're in the oil business, you have some sort of backup plan. Hey, in the event of this event happening, what should we do? Rather than when it happens, go, I don't know, we can put golf balls in it.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like they were kind of improvising when the thing finally blew.
Well, considering how long those companies have been drilling in the ocean, considering mm-hmm. how long that's been going on, you certainly would think that there would be something in place.
Yeah.
You're right. They're just like throwing, like, they bring people in off the street. What do you think? Golf balls? All right. Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
I didn't even, Lisa, you probably saw the story. I did not bother to click, but apparently Kevin Costner has a plan. He's got some invention that he says can solve the ocean problem. What's
Thank
going
God.
On with Kevin?
He
That's
invested
good news.
In this years ago, and I heard somewhere that his brother actually invented it. But
uh-huh.
yeah.
And what's it do?
It's a way to suck up the oil.
Oh.
It doesn't disperse it. It's not like a dispersement. It's some sort of machine that cleans it or something. I have very few facts.
A machine that cleans it, but not a dispersement.
It's not dispersement.
Okay.
Or dispersement.
Miss Cleo Miss Cleo is not coming in with facts. Come on.
Miss Cleo is here.
With the update.
And I watched an interview with him. It's this machine that spins the water. So it's like literally separates the oil from the water. And it didn't explain what they do with the oil, but it's separating the two.
Okay.
And they,
have to do that for the entire ocean?
Yeah, they bought two.
That seems like a long process.
There's like three different sizes of them.
They do it like a 1 quart at a time.
They bought two machines that they're putting down there in the near future, and then another 20 are in production.
Well,
were you talking to someone at the Angles game about this last night?
I changed that, F you.
You changed it by taking it down.
Okay, I got to go take Paul's bye.
More importantly, when does the basketball game start tonight?
Six.
I think it's six. Okay. Yeah, so the president will be down. But that was my first thought when he said Lisa.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think and I've said this before, by the way. I know he's the president, and it's important when he goes on TV sometimes.
Yep.
Don't put it on networks. Put it on other channels that don't already have programs that people like. Look, everybody can find it on another channel.
You're right. No, you're right.
Yeah, and the people who want to will.
Mm-hmm. People who want to will. The rest of us don't interrupt my Malcolm in the Middle reruns, okay?
Whoa.
All right, let's do or whatever you happen to be watching. Yeah. Let's do one more real quick. It's going to be Chris. He's on line four calling about another story in the news. Chris, you get a Kevin Amin T-shirt for hanging on. What's going on, dude?
Sweet. Hey, you guys hear about those kids riding their bikes out in like Englewood somewhere, and they stumbled upon a vial of PCP and ended up in the hospital?
Stumbled across a vial of PCP.
I didn't hear about that.
Vial of PCP out in like Englewood somewhere. Mm. That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah,
that's all right.
The kids are all right.
You see the kids afterwards, like they had them on the news and stuff. These kids are like riding their bikes and stuff. They were doing all right, but.
Here's what I like
so
about
So you could be in the hospital, too?
Here's what I like about this story is I'm sure it didn't have a label that said PCP on it.
Yeah.
So these guys came across a vial of something and convinced themselves to take it, drink it.
That's not unlike you, Kevin.
Yeah, I know.
People send things in and you try it, it is.
Exactly. All right. Very good, sir. We have to leave it there for today. Thank you very much for the call.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you read the Bible a little bit, just crack it. Once in a great while, you wouldn't ask these goofy questions.
That's right. That's true. We're going to call South Africa today and try and take care of a little problem.
A problem?
Those horns.
Oh, the horns.
Those horns at the World Cup have got to stop.
Okay. We got to stop that. We really do.
It's driving me crazy. And
me too. What?
That
sounds
like a pizza.
That's it. Hour after hour.
Spencer Pratt did an interview. Got to talk about that.
Okay.
He's just getting more and more douchebaggier. Is that a word?
How is that even possible?
I don't know. But he's done it.
Yeah.
New website to turn you on to. Psycho Mike's going to try the cinnamon challenge.
Oh, good. Finally. We got a professional stepping up.
He looks at all the failures that we've had. We have three or four people here at the station do it. Psycho Mike goes, please. So we're going to do that this morning. We are going to talk about a TV show called, and I'm not kidding, Extreme Poodles.
Get ready to go? You want to go get your hair cut? You want to get your hair blow dried? You want to get the comb? You want to go say hi to grandma? Yeah? Are you ready to go? You want to go onto the table? You want to get brushed? You want to have a bath? I want to get your hair brushed. You want to get hair brushed?
These people aren't crazy at all.
Oh,
these
my God.
These people who dye and cut their poodles to look like other animals? No, they're not crazy at all. They're perfectly well adjusted.
You knew when you saw the title at Extreme Poodles that it was the owners that were just crazy.
Of course.
Oh, those dogs, if they could get away, they would. Oh,
that dog was saying no to every question.
Yep.
It was mine. Let's see. Frank Shamrock will be in studio today.
Oh, he's great.
Talking about MMA. Mm-hmm. He is great. The last time he was in our studio, he told us that they wear cups when they fight to protect their privates.
Yep.
And he said he had a specially big one that he uses just for photos.
I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we have him in studio talking about a Strike Force event. We have, I believe we're going to have a human centipede wrap.
Oh, the human centipede, by the way. Not a big impact at the box office, but it has developed quite a cult following. There's a lot still going on with Human Centipede right now.
And Bean thinks he has a shot at Maria Menounos, which is...
Well, I know that I have a shot at Maria Menounos.
Which is comical at best.
We are tight like that.
Yeah, all right. That's what she said. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with the showbiz.
Hey, party people, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman on vacation this week. Nobody panic. It was a scheduled vacation. He's fine, and the baby OG is fine as well. I think he's going to our friend Ben's wedding this week. I think that's what's happening. Yes. That's where Ralph is, yeah. All right, time for the showbiz beat, though. Want to start off with something free for you. We had Jonah Hill on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about Get Him to the Greek, and while he was here, he told us how awesome his next movie was called Cyrus, and that is opening up soon. We have passes for a premiere and an after party.
Right.
This movie, by the way, also has Catherine Keener in it, Marissa Tomei, John C. Reilly. It just looks fantastic, getting rave reviews. If you want to go, if you always wanted to go to a Hollywood premiere and after party, now's your chance. We'll take a caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. Win tickets to go see Cyrus from The Kevin and Bean Show. Well, it's happened again. 3 o'clock this morning, LAPD responds to reports of an automobile off a cliff at Mulholland Drive.
Oh, no.
Remember when it happened? Was it a few months ago? It turned out to be one of Charlie Sheen's cars, remember?
Yep, that's right.
Well, it's one of Charlie Sheen's cars again. What are the chances? Once again, Charlie was not in the car. He was at home when the police called to report the accident to him. The exact same thing. Oh, here it is. It says it happened back in February. Police were at Sheen's house not far from the wreck at 3 o'clock this morning making out a stolen vehicle report. So what? Is somebody breaking into Charlie's garage and stealing his car, going for a joyride, and then just dumping him over the side of the mountain? What's happening here?
Well, they know he's not home. Well, we all know where he is.
It can't be a coincidence. No way.
No, it can't be a coincidence.
So,
right.
That's the strangest story I've ever heard.
Unless it's somebody who lives with or is friends with or related to Charlie, stop giving your keys to that person.
Oh, my God.
He's got to know who it is.
It's crazy. And either it never came out or I never followed closely enough to find out what the results were of the last time he lost a car over the mountain. But, it's happened again.
That's awesome. About every 3 months. That's cool. Lindsay Lohan's nearest and dearest are not pleased about her personal assistant getting fired.
Oh, really? Right.
Some more fallout. They say she's incredibly disorganized and cannot function alone. So they're very upset that she's not going to be able to find anybody. She's also paying them, I think, in a candy bar a week or something. Not very much.
I don't think she has much cash.
And it's 24/7, and you pretty much just have to, do everything but wipe. I don't even know that you don't have to do that, by the way, for the record. And on another Lindsay Lohan note, thank goodness this is happening, because this is the first positive sign in a long time. Lindsay Lohan is talking again to Samantha Ronson.
Oh, seriously.
Oh. Hey, those two kids belong together.
Oh, dear
God. I'm happy
God.
To hear that.
They've done nothing but fight since the day they met.
Yeah.
What that means is more TMZ photos of her banging on Samantha Ronson's door at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get in.
Stop it.
Yeah, that's awesome. A couple of Michael Jackson stories for you as, again, we approach the one-year anniversary of the singer's death coming up on June 25th. Sony announced yesterday they've got a new video game for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 that is going to be using motion-detecting camera systems that will break down some of Michael's signature dance moves and let you recreate them. So they're going to essentially teach you how to moonwalk, for instance, in a video game.
You need that to help you moonwalk? I'm all over that.
Well, hey, that is something, a lot of people, were amazed at when he debuted it. And let's face it, even the best dancers have trouble moonwalking now. But you'd do it if you could, I bet. You'd try it, right?
Sure. Listen to me, man. I can.
And the other Michael Jackson news is Conrad Murray, his doctor, was in court yesterday, and it was ruled that he is allowed to continue practicing medicine in the state of California.
Great.
The judge ruled yesterday that he did not have the authority to suspend Dr. Murray's license, even though state officials had asked him to. And his preliminary charges on manslaughter and the death of Michael Jackson began on August 23rd. So, Dr. Murray, we may have to catch up with Dr. Murray, because that dude knows how to party. He's got to be very, very happy. And by the way, they did make a convincing argument, which is, he's got an ex-wife, he's got child support, he's got a mortgage. If he can't practice medicine, he can't make a living.
Right.
But he's not convicted yet.
But if he gets convicted...
But he is not allowed to give people sedatives.
Oh, he isn't?
No.
They've lay off the propofol?
Yeah.
By the way, I have sources. Some of my doctors that I talk to say now propofol is so out of... Not out of fashion, but it's too much of a red flag.
People don't want it?
And a lot of people, a lot of surgery centers, a lot of different places are now going to something else.
Oh, really?
Because it's just too hard to get, and then you have all the paperwork, and they've cracked down on it so hard.
Oh, wow.
That it's become super, difficult. And my last treatment, where they usually knock me out, they didn't use it. And I was really, like, why aren't you using it? He said, oh, we need to have another anesthesiologist.
How about that?
And it didn't used to happen.
So you've had propofol. How would you compare it, its effectiveness, to the whatever the drug was they replaced it with?
It's great because it's short-acting. There's two things. It erases your memory. So if
you're in extreme pain, you don't remember.
If you're screaming during the procedure,
yeah,
they don't knock you all the way out. You forget it. So you don't even know when you wake up. And the second thing is it's very short acting. So as soon as they stop giving it to you, you wake up pretty quick. All the other stuff, from what I hear, is a much longer lasting, deeper. Yeah.
I have a super bad news for you, Kevin, and that is the stuff is not leaving your system quickly. You are cursed with memory problems now as a result of the so-called short-acting propofol.
Yes, I'll take that. Otherwise, it's just me being dumb. So, yes.
Exactly. Music news. You've been hearing us play here on the Kevin and Bean Show the new song from Brandon Flowers. We were talking yesterday about the song called Crossfire, saying, wow, it sure sounds exactly like the Killers. What's the point of that? Well, the reason Brandon has a solo album coming out in September called Flamingo is he says he wrote the songs for the Killers. His intention was they were going to be the Killers. It's not like he was off trying to do something different. But the band said they needed a break. They've been on the road for 2 years. They didn't want to work right now. They wanted some time off. Who can blame him? So he said, I got all these songs and I'm still, you know, ready to work, so I'm going to put it into a solo album. So it'll, in other words, it's probably not likely to be crazy music that wouldn't have fit under the Killers name. It's just the Killers wanted some vacation time.
Boy, who could blame him? When you tour for 2 years, don't you want a little downtime?
Maybe Brandon needs to take a little break.
Yeah, take a day off. And speaking of music, it is Tuesday. That means new releases in store and available for download. The new album from Devo, first one in forever, comes out today, called Something for Everybody. We got a chance to see a few of the new songs at the Weenie Roast a couple weekends ago, and it sounds great. So if you're a Devo fan, today is the day. Finally, the first ever full-length album from Drake. He's huge in the rap world and in the pop world. Never put out an album until today. It's called Thank Me Later. New one from Sarah McLachlan, just in time for the relaunch of the Lilith Tour, is out today. Steve Miller Band with their first new record in 17 years today. There's a new...
Thank God.
That's weird.
And it's great, by the way.
Don't say that.
It's great. Yeah. Psycho Mike will back me up. He is a phenomenal guitarist. Phenomenal. It's really good.
And an excellent songwriter.
Oasis has a new singles collection out today. There's a new one from Papa Roach in stores. The return of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, their first new one in a way long time. And various artists. Now that's what I call Music 34, the latest net hits collection, also in stores today.
34? Man, oh man. Celebrity birthdays. We have Jim Belushi at 56. We have Helen Hunt. I haven't seen her in something in a long time.
No, it's been a while.
She is 47 years old. Courtney Cox is 46. Ice Cube is 41. Actor Neil Patrick Harris is 37.
Oh.
Singer Dylan Mitchell of Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah!
But the reason we celebrate is trombone player T-Bone Willie of Save Ferris.
There you go.
Who is 38 years old today, and that is your Ralph Showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Hey, The Offspring, by the way, are currently in the studio working on a new record, and they are also touring. They got the Unity Tour going out with 311 and Pepper, and tickets are available. Get all the details at kevinandbean.com if you're an Offspring fan, and we'll hear something from the band along with Silver Sun Pickups and Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up later this hour on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Bean is obsessed with certain celebrities, certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular woman is worth the attention. You know, minus the fact that she's a Boston Celtic fan, which is a killer. I mean, that is a killer.
All right.
Are you talking about my girlfriend Maria Menounos?
And so he's been saying, "Hey, we should get her on the phone because she, you know, we could talk about the series and the whole thing." And so it finally came through yesterday, and she was on the phone. But just before that, Bean told us off the air, and it's difficult to tell when Bean's being serious or not.
Right.
I think he was. What's your read on? He thinks he has a shot. What's your read on that?
I think he always thinks he has a shot.
But in this particular case, I thought he like meant it more than most. Like, first he said I have a Twitter relationship with her.
That's why he thinks it's actually a possibility.
Because she responds to his Twitter?
Established some sort of relationship.
Right.
And now he's just going to sweep her off her feet with his wit and charm and good looks.
Thank you, Lisa. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right about that. Look, here my whole thing. We all have celebrity crushes. Everybody who pays attention to any pop culture has girls that they love.
Right.
Like Psycho Mike loves Deora Baird so much, for instance.
And
but I don't
so.
think, But I don't think Psycho Mike really thinks he's got a shot with Yura Baird. I think he worships her from afar, right, even though he got a chance to meet her and have her on Loveline the other day. I don't think he really thought he was going to get anywhere with her.
But here's what I'd say.
He got closer to her than you are to Maria Menounos.
That's what I'm going to say, is that he has a small shot with her.
He does, actually.
Because he's young and good-looking?
Good-looking and single.
Social.
And social, yes.
Oh, there is that. There's all those things. Yeah, there's all those things.
In the same room.
But there are some, like, look, like, we all love Katy Perry. But we know if Katy Perry is attracted to Russell Brand, she's not interested in Kevin. She's not interested in Bean, right?
Well, we knew that. It doesn't matter who she's interested in.
You take what you know about these celebrities and you determine how much of a likely fit you are in real life. And Katy Perry is way out of my league, and I'm way – like, I have no possibility ever in a million years.
Okay.
But somebody like Maria Menounos comes along.
Is way out of your league, and you don't have a chance.
Who might be, but she just seems so down to earth and so nice and so friendly, and she seems like she dates regular guys, and she's a crazy dog fan, just obsessed with her dogs. We've got that in common already. And the fact that she seems just super nice and super approachable. In your mind, you think, well, you know what? If I actually got to know her, if I actually got to meet her, I think she might like me and we might have a chance. That's all I'm talking about. Is that some girls are more approachable than others, and I think Maria is in that list.
This is why it's bad to be nice. Right here. People take advantage of it, and then you go, all right, I can't be nice anymore.
Wait, how am I taking advantage of it? I'm just saying that something
to a tweet, so you think,
polite.
Oh, hey, she might be interested in me. No, she just responded to a tweet. That's it.
I didn't even say she might be interested in me. What I said was, I think I would have a chance with somebody like Maria Menounos.
That's the truth of the matter. Now,
you don't know. What if she likes super old guys with spina bifida who are married and live 1,100 miles away? What if that's her type? You don't know, man.
That's likely. What color is your house, Bean?
Well, I mean, it happens to be pink, but I don't know why that's relevant.
Pink house.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you the rest of the list in a second. I want to play the clip of Maria Menounos, who was being nice, like Lisa said, and playing along with our little jokes. And this is why hot girls can't be nice.
You're so right.
Because at the very first instance, a guy actually has, you know, any kind of interest in it. Oh, she was nice to me. That means,
I've got a chance.
I have a shot.
Yeah.
No, you don't. She was just being nice. So this is the conversation yesterday. Is the Boston Celtic thing a deal breaker? And I said, absolutely. And Bean's like, I don't know. I don't know. I love her so much. I think I love her anyway.
I'm willing to overlook that. That's the offer I'm making to you here today, Maria.
Oh, we would have so much fun at games. You'd be a Laker faker. I'd be a Celtics, you know, crazy woman. And we would fight, and then we'd make up later.
Don't tease him like that, Maria.
Now we're talking.
Come on. He's going to talk about that for months.
Maria,
I went on a date. She asked me out. Yeah. So Bean said, pull the clip of Maria asks me out.
Well, she certainly did. Clearly, she was coming on to me pretty strong there. In fact, I thought it was a little inappropriate.
Right, sure.
If I can be honest, I think she needs to back the F off, is what I'm saying.
Here's what she was saying. She was saying she's such a big fan, it would be fun to go with you because you're not a big Laker fan, and she could smack talk the whole time. That does not mean that, A, it's going to happen, or, B, if it did happen, it would turn into something else.
Okay, let me ask you this crazy question then. Let's just say, and it's all hypothetical or theoretical, whichever one it is. I don't know the difference between the two. But let's say that I met Maria Menounos at some point. Let's say we were at some sort of Kevin and Bean event, and she was there covering it for Access Hollywood or something like that, and we got to chat.
Right.
There's no possibility in your mind whatsoever that we might get along, that we might have fun, that it might be good conversation, that she might think, hey, this guy might be all right.
Hang on. Conversation, fun. I'm using my calculator. Give me a second.
Oh, I see. You got a formula now, huh?
He might
be all
right.
There's no possibility that she might think, this is a guy that I could go out with, go to dinner.
0% is what my calculator tells
me. Come on.
0%.
Lisa, what about you? You're a woman. You're certainly not inured to my charms, right?
All women hate you.
Yeah, it's taken me years to come to like you.
So you have a pink house. Do you still have a clown on the top of your house?
Of course I do.
Do you still have a picture of O.J. Simpson naked in your bathroom?
Well, yes. But remember, she wouldn't see all of this until like the fifth date.
Are you married?
There's the wife problem.
What about the rat? The picture of the rat with the plague.
Do you still have the picture of the rat that brought the plague?
I do. Yeah. I have that. I have
That's not creepy.
I have the John Wayne Gacy paintings in the house. I have that too. But again,
has anyone been more agoraphobic than you have become living in your own little island and your own little house and not ever mixing with any human beings?
I don't leave the house as often as some.
Did you come to the weenie roast and pigtails?
I did do that at one time, yeah.
Yeah,
I did.
I want to hear you say it. I just want to know that you have some grasp of reality. Because most of us, when we say, I think I have a shot with her, it's sort of a joke. Of course, all guys are cocky and they think, oh, maybe I'm her type. 1%. Give me 0.5%. That 0% here.
I think I have a shot with her. I think I have a shot with her.
I know, but seriously, that's funny.
I do, because I think that's... What did I say yesterday? And I'm standing by this. I love her so much that it doesn't matter if she loves me back or not. I'm providing enough love to make this relationship work. That's what women want.
They want a man that they don't love, but that loves them so much, they're going to make it work.
I'm going to love her whether she wants it or not.
Oh.
How about that?
Mike, you're going to need to transcribe that. We're going to need to have it for the court proceedings.
How dare you? Spencer Pratt and his pack of lies coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, time to check in with what you're leaving for us on the Kevin Amin voicemail. We call it the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. You call, leave a message, we play back on the radio just like this.
This is inspired, this idea. We get ideas occasionally that we will actually take action on, and I believe this may be one of them.
Breakfast with Glee, hosted by Omar.
Oh, strong. God.
What do you think?
No, that is strong.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
We were talking last week about Farmville, and its inexplicable popularity. 70 million people a month play that. And
they farm.
They farm. and if that sounds boring to you, it's only because you haven't seen it because it's super, super boring. It's way worse than you would think.
Anytime you make a phone call to get the cable guy on the horn and no one picks up, it's because he's harvesting his beets. I mean, apparently productivity in this country has ground to a halt because of stupid Farmville.
So this listener wants to know, she has one question and then she's either in or out based on the answer.
All right. Hey, can I grow pot on Farmville? No? Then I'm out.
even though it's virtual pot. Hey, why can't you grow pot, or can you on Farmville? I don't know. We have to ask Dave.
Dude.
Depends on what state you live in.
I'm telling you, no.
Oh, maybe that's it, Lisa. Maybe that's it.
King of Mexico is the guy here who plays Farmville so much.
Can someone punch Dave in the neck for me, please?
That would be Kevin's job.
All right. Bean, you have that clip of the NAACP and the greeting card?
Yes, Hallmark greeting card declared racist by the NAACP. It's an astronomy-themed graduation card that uses the expression black holes. And somebody thinks it says black whores.
A graduation card sold at local stores has been pulled from shelves after a civil rights group raised concerns about the content. The group claims the card's micro speaker plays a greeting that's racist.
And you black holes, you're so ominous.
That was very demeaning to African-American women.
Well, sure it is. Of course it is.
Yeah.
I'm not distraught about the NAACP saying that. I'm distraught about Hallmark pulling the cards.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that's ridiculous.
If you listen to the whole card, it's very obvious.
It's all about planets and astronomy.
Yeah, it would make no sense.
Oh, they're just boneheads. It's just driving me nuts.
You know what? Everybody, world, NAACP, whoever the hell's listening, stop being such big, fat. It says black holes on the hoops and yo-yo card. Are you retarded? Stop it. Just stop it. Dumb.
Yeah, but why the hole got to be black? I mean, you haven't addressed that question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody calls to hit on Lisa. They all have different ways of doing it.
Very creative, clever, smooth, classy. Right?
Speaking of astronomy.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Word around the universe is you guys are a couple of black holes. And Lisa May... I plan to plant one on Uranus tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. Uranus.
See, Lisa, because that's also a planet. That's a planet.
Did he make a noise at the end?
Sort of.
I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, Lisa May's got some big old boobies, and I want to say boop, boop, boobies, boop, boop, boop. Boobies. Oh, my God, I want to see Lisa May dance for me. I said, ooh, ooh, boobie, ooh, 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 boobies.
Best song ever?
That's awesome. Thank you.
I talked to Maria Menounos from Access Hollywood yesterday. She's a Celtics fan number one. It was painful for me. Bean seemed to enjoy it way too much.
Oh, hi, my name is Maria Menounos, and I like the Boston Celtics.
shut up. I'll still do you, but shut up.
Look, I don't care if she's rooting for North Korea. I love her, okay? It doesn't matter to me.
Deal breaker. The song that's sweeping the country, though, is...
Big booty bitches, we want big booty bitches. Ooh, too much information.
All right.
And then...
Stop it. Stop it. Stop playing the goddamn big booty bitches song. It's in my head. I don't want it there. Stop it, please. This is cruel and unusual. Pretty sure this is outlawed by the Constitution. Stop playing that song!
It is, it does get stuck in your head forever.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the video, you need to check it out. Go to kevinandbean.com. In the top right, there's a search bar. Just type in big booty bitches.
If you see it, you won't mind that it's stuck in your head, because it's great.
Because the video part of it is super funny.
Yeah.
And the song is super funny as well.
I got big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches, big, big booty bitches.
All right, now you've heard the whole thing.
That's it. That's the song.
But it's 5 minutes long.
Oh, big.
Funny to us is that we know that there are going to be listeners today that are wandering around their office or they're doing something, and out of the blue, they'll be, I got big. And then they'll go, what am I singing? Why am I singing that? You don't have any choice.
Because we don't want no skinny bitches.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. Frank Shamrock will be here later on today to talk all things MMA and a new website where you're supposed to post after you have sex. All of that coming up. First, though, time to catch up with Spencer Pratt. It makes me so happy to be able to say, formerly of the Hills.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
By the way, I don't think I've ever made this point before, Spencer, but you're making fun of VH1 comedians who at least have a skill and job. Oh, you're an MTV reality star who is famous for doing nothing.
And I'm a cartoonist, a psychologist.
You're not.
A sex.
You're none of those things.
You're not any of those things.
you don't even know what that is.
Esthetician.
A what?
Esthetician.
Esthetician. No,
endocrinologist.
Not.
Okay. All right. Okay. Stop with the fake resume. All Listen, right. here's the thing,
no,
Spencer.
Thanks for having me back. You know why? Because I bring the show ratings. That's what I do. Thanks.
Yeah. That's what I understand.
Good morning,
yes.
Captain. Thanks. Right. Continue.
I guess what I'm saying is when I was so gleeful that you're formerly of the Hills is I hope that puts you one step closer to being gone forever so I don't ever have to hear from you or talk to you, but yet you still keep doing interviews. Why?
It's not my fault. People are drawn to me like a moth to a flame. You know what I'm saying, Bobby?
Yeah,
look at here, Captain. First off, you're looking good. You hit the beach or something. You got a nice tan there, Captain.
I don't know.
All right, Chief.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, they come to me. I could go and live forever in Malibu on my own because I invented dice.
You didn't invent dice.
I did. All right, here's the thing. Money easily.
Here's the thing. Here's the story that is keeping them in the news. They supposedly now have split up. They're getting a divorce. She's moving to the beach with a friend. They're going to do a reality show. But we think that Spencer is producing it, so it sounds like it's all fake, like everything else in their world.
Right. Always keeping you guessing, you know?
TMZ caught up with you, Spencer. We have a couple of clips of you being interviewed.
Right.
This is them asking you if you are indeed divorced.
Are you guys divorced?
Who are we talking about?
You and the wife.
Seeming our marriage was on the Hills, I don't know, I didn't even know it was legal, so I just found this certificate that states it is, so I think Heidi ripped it up though, a while ago.
that doesn't mean a divorce,
by the way. Listen, you know, I'm cloaked in Persian leather 24/7, you're coming at me with the pleather talk, you don't know about it, kid. I'm Huey Lewis.
You're not Huey Long or Huey Lewis.
So, not even Howie Long.
So nice. Nice pull.
High five me.
You high five her for that.
Shut your mouth. What she just did was Marxist.
I don't think so.
Have you ever seen the show Bosom Buddies?
I don't think so.
Explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, all right. So then they ask you about this TV show that Heidi is doing.
How do you feel about her new reality show?
I was a little shocking to me. I thought she'd want to have my star power up on the show, but I guess she wants a girl's show, so.
So your star power is those ratings.
Well, I am ratings. I don't have any.
Oh,
power.
My God.
I am ratings.
I am ratings.
I embody ratings.
And is that why you're not on the Hills?
No, they had to kick me off because I was too much. The show can't... They had trouble generating any interest in any other character.
Oh,
because once
I see.
Flesh-colored beard came on the screen, obviously people lost... it's like Clooney on ER. I'm too big for the show.
So you're like Bill Clinton going back to his college reunion. All of a sudden, right. Doesn't matter what you've done, you're not Bill Clinton.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
You're some lawyer. You're some doctor. Blah, blah, blah. I was president of the United States.
Right.
And I can relate because I was once president of the United States.
You were not president of the United States.
I'm Marcus Welby, MD.
We would have heard about any of those things. You just lie, Spencer. You don't tell
whatever.
The truth.
I drew Voltron.
If you did, that would be cool.
Okay, look at my eyes. Thundercats are loose, kid. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, what we're saying is go away. That's what we're saying.
I invented the vulva.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Are you-
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:53.
Psycho Mike attempts the cinnamon challenge coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, brown sugar time. Come on. Hey, Anel Rivers has joined us. Hey.
What's going down? 11B gang in the house. Yo.
He is the token blacklister of the Kevin and Bean Show. As far as we can tell, he's the only one. And that's why we hang on to him so desperately, because we don't want to lose the last black guy listening to this program. But welcome, Anel. You are filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat this hour. What's going on?
Ah, buenos dias. Yes, I'm Anel Rivers, the Black Highlander. There can only be one. So, yo, check us out. I just want to make sure we get everything straight here.
Okay.
You know, when I come in, you know, I like to do my little showbiz busy.
Right.
So, you know, no cameras in the hood.
Oh, so you don't want the sound effect of the camera?
Nah,
okay.
Nah, man. Paparazzi in the ghetto, no West Bueno.
All right.
So the way we do it is we go ahead and we make sure we get this drop right.
Girl, holla!
And that lets you know it's time to holla for showbiz, and Anel Rivers is ready to get busy.
So you want that in between each story?
Yes, sir. That's
now,
our role.
For those that don't recognize the very soulful Bean, that is Bean.
Girl, holla!
Yes, it is.
Anel and I are practically separated at birth with our soulfulness when you hear that clip.
Oh, yeah. Sure. When you see us in the streets, I mean, seriously, it's like Amos and Andy. You can't tell us apart. So, the first story I got here. Now, I want to do a little self-promotion here.
Okay.
I saw a story online I think applies to me. All right. MTV announced its first Twitter VJ search.
Twitter VJ?
Twitter VJ. They're actually looking for what they call a TJ.
Okay.
I've gotten a couple TJs in my life, and yeah. I didn't know that they were the same thing. But basically, the way this works is MTV is looking for nominees for their Twitter VJ contest. All right? The way this works is the winner receives $100,000.
All right.
And a one-year contract with MTV. All right? You get exclusive access and events to celebrities and whatnot. And you get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to become an MTV VJ. Okay?
Bye.
Jesse Camp, sorry. Excuse me.
Wait, but do you do it on the TV or do you Twitter?
Well, you Twitter. Okay, basically the way this works is there's something called the Edelman tweet level.
Okay.
Okay, and this is basically like Twitter's Richter scale. This measures how much impact you actually have in the Twitter world.
Right.
Okay, and basically they're going to use that in concert with nominations to figure out, you know, who the best, I guess, you know, suggestion would be for the Twitter VJ.
Right, but I'm saying if they win, they get $100,000 to get a one-year contract. To Twitter?
To tweet.
Okay,
you get
tweet.
To go to, you know, you go to the events and you tweet, you know.
Okay.
Because not everybody has a television, man. You know, so some people are only connected to the world through the internet. So
sure.
You tweet. Now, I ran a couple people through here to kind of give you an idea of what the Edelman tweet level is about.
Okay.
Okay, now you got Shaq. Shaq is a 62.
And what's
okay,
that? On a scale
I assume
of 100?
That's on a scale of 100. It
okay.
Has to be somewhere in that ballpark.
62.
Shaq is 62. He's a pretty heavy hitter in Twitter.
Right.
Okay. Dr. Drew, our very own Dr. Drew,
uh-huh.
He's a 57.
Oh, not
okay.
Bad.
Yeah. Our own Bean here.
Yeah.
Bean is a 49.
Wow.
Okay. Now, yeah.
That's shocking as well.
I'm saying now myself, I'm a 48. Yeah,
oh. See, and I'm a radio show.
Yeah. I don't have. I'm right
or
behind
TV
Bean.
Show.
I got to start fishing or something. I need a hobby. Seriously, I spend way too much time on
Give
Twitter.
Give out your Twitter address so
well,
that you can
pass. See,
Bean.
So let me tell you how this works.
Yeah.
Okay, you go to tj.mtv.com. Okay, and what you do is you want to nominate at Anel Rivers. Okay, that's A-N-E-L Rivers, just like Joan, no relation. Okay. And you want to go ahead and put your boy on, because, man, let me tell you, I'm doing bad right now, man, seriously. I need help here,
you can
guys.
Use this.
I need to change the scenery.
You can
okay?
use $100,000
yeah,
to
man,
tweet.
I need a job. Guys, you guys have noticed I lost a lot of weight. I've started dancing again.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, you guys can catch me down at the chocolate shop, you know, down at Rose Friends. I go by the name Lick 'Em Low Lover. You know,
right.
I let your boy. That's the next thing. Girl, holla. It's bad out there. Y'all don't understand, man. My wife left me, took half my stuff.
Yeah.
I see my kid like 3 days a week. It's bad for a brother out here, man. Anyway, yeah. I'm going to get into all that. Next story up I got, man. Bam Margera. Our boy Bam. Bam got hit in the head with a baseball bat.
I'm sorry, is that you doing an impression? He's doing an impression.
I get Bam impression for you. But basically what happened was Bam was walking down the street, and out of nowhere, a 59-year-old woman took a Louisville Slugger to his head.
59-year-old?
Yeah, man. She got loose, man. And I mean, like, I thought it was a jackass stunt. I was like, this is some pussy stuff. But right. No, apparently Bam is really messed up, man. He's, Westchester, Pennsylvania, and, he was in the ICU. And he's recently been checked out. But the problem is that he has a scene he needs to shoot this weekend that needs to be rewritten because it involves him getting hit in the head.
Not so good.
So that's not so good. So we'd like to send special Kevin and Bean, get well wishes to Bam Margera. And has anybody seen April? That's all I'm wondering.
That's a good question.
This
could be revenge.
Mm-hmm. I can see April in a ski mask. You know what I'm saying? Casey did not strike out.
and by the way, no one would have deserved that revenge from April more than Bam Margera.
Oh, no, he totally had that coming. Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think there's a court in the land that would convict
her. After he got hit, he was looking for Knoxville and cameras and everything.
Absolutely.
Imagine Bam on the ground, though, and his friends were laughing. They probably thought it was a joke at first. Yeah. And then it's like, Bam, are you all right? Bam?
Yeah.
Bam? Get an ambulance.
I'm sorry, what?
get an ambulance.
That's the best Bam impression ever.
Girl, holla! All right, next up now. You guys remember that guy? What's his name? I believe his name was it Michael Jackson? You guys remember that guy?
Yeah, that's the guy. Singer of some note, right?
Yeah, light-skinned boy from around the Indiana way.
Yeah.
So basically what's happened is developers are working on a video game starring Michael Jackson.
A video game?
Yeah, video game. Basically, it's like you basically play against Michael Jackson in the game as he gets ready for his big tour in London. Okay, now they're coming into a little bit of a problem here, though, because during the game, it abruptly just cuts off, and you never finish.
because
he died.
That's sad.
Now, the game is currently entitled, okay, but, I would like to go ahead and give the developers some suggestions here to help them get over the hump.
So you have suggestions.
I have a couple suggestions
for the Michael Jackson video game.
Yeah, Michael Jackson video game. First one I have is Propofol Hero.
Okay. Good. I like that one.
All okay. Right. How about Don't Stop Till You Get Enough?
Good.
Okay. Right. And my personal favorite, Dr. Murray's Wild Ride.
Okay. And I'm just,
Wild Ride. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And this is to be played by only people under 14?
This is to be played. That's cold. See? Was convicted of touching the kids.
Yeah.
Every time I get in trouble, I spend millions getting out of it just to make sure I don't have to pay for it.
That's correct.
So, yeah. Now, anyway, we've also got a couple of new CD releases here. It's Wednesday.
Holla!
Yeah, man. It's time to go to Best Buy and spend that dollar. Bean,
yes.
Listen to me.
I'm right here.
Gas is about $3 a gallon.
Right.
Whatever money you save driving across town to save $3, I assure you that you burn up.
Bean will drive to 10 locations to get a CD for $9.99 instead of $10.99.
Yes.
He will, but he will spend $3.99 in gas to do it.
Per mile. Yeah, I mean per, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Bean, that's what we call in black neighborhood hustling backwards, Playboy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
You don't want to do that. So
what am I buying today? What's the NL Rivers pick hit to click today?
You know what? I'm going to go with Somebody for Everybody by Devo.
I'm
an 80s baby, man. I happen to love Devo. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I like to get, late at night, I get undressed and I oil myself up. That's
probably enough.
That's too much information.
Oh, I'm just saying, people need to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
All right, so we also got Thank Me Later by Drake.
I'm excited about that. Of course, Dave's had that for a month, so.
Yeah, DNN, man. Dave gets everything early.
Yeah.
He also got that Weezer. We got American Slang by the Gaslight Anthem.
I love that band.
Do you?
I love them.
I'm not big on Gaslight Anthem.
Really?
Nah, it doesn't really have enough bass for me, man. I'm riding down Crenshaw bumping Gaslight Anthem, and ladies ain't feeling it. We got Mojo by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Can't wait.
Aren't feeling that one either, Compton.
Tom Petty. You know what? I do like Tom Petty, man. I really do, because he's got the whole weed thing going, man. So, Tom's right up my alley.
Right.
DVDs, we got the Book of Eli with Denzel Washington.
Right.
I could drop a mean spoiler alert on y'all, but I won't.
Yeah, don't.
Kevin already did.
Yeah, but
don't. Off the air.
Off the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
So don't say it.
All right. He's a white guy, guys. That's the big secret.
You said it.
He pops out a suit, and it turns out it's actually Monty Hall.
What's wrong
okay.
with you?
We got One in Rome with, Kristen Bell. That's Dave's girl there.
Sure. Kristen Bell. Yeah,
Youth in Revolt with the oh-so-rangeful Michael Cera.
Sure.
We got Lewis Black, Stark Raving Black. Lewis, I need them ends, bro. Yeah, I think you're infringing on my thing here, man. The
really?
Black thing is my thing.
But are you Stark Raving?
I'm Stark Raving, insane, and bat-ass.
All right.
Okay.
What the f***?
Damn. So, TV to DVD, we got Family Guy, Volume 8, Everwood, that was my porn name, by the way.
Sure.
Third complete season, Leave It to Beaver, that was Mike's porn name. Season 3, American Dad, that was Kevin's porn name. Volume 5, and Hawthorne, no porn tied in there, sorry guys. That was a complete first season. And celebrity birthdays, we got...
Girl, holla!
Jim Belushi is 56 years old.
56?
56.
All right.
Courtney Cox is 46. Helen Hunt. Oh, no, wait. I said Hunt.
Yeah.
She's 47. Rapper Ice Cube is 41. Can you really still call yourself Ice Cube in your 40s? I'm just saying,
that's
man.
A good question.
Let's talk about that, Cube. Trombone player T-Bone Willie of Save Ferris. Damn, that should have been my porn name. T-Bone Willie of Save Ferris is 36. NPH Neil Patrick Harris is 37. He being out of the closet is 5. Elizabeth Reeser is 35. And Dryden Mitchell of Alien Ant Farm is 35 years old. And that is the Nell Rivers with the show big.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Strike Force Los Angeles happens tomorrow at the Nokia Theater. Frank Shamrock will be here to discuss coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, very excited about this. This has really turned into a thing here, Kevin. Started out as just a, hey, wouldn't it be neat to see somebody try to eat a tablespoon of cinema?
Right.
Now it's turned into like climbing Mount Everest. Everybody in the building wants to do it.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't look that hard.
That's what she said.
You look at it and you go, okay, it's a tablespoon of cinnamon. How is that impossible? But everybody that tries, I guess the trick is that it's too dry and too fine and it doesn't mix with moisture at all.
Right.
So you can't swallow it like you would
any
normal.
But you can inhale
normal.
It,
well,
which is terrible.
No, yeah, and that's definitely the reason why. And cinnamon, if you ever like put any in your coffee or anything, it just clumps. And you could sit and stir and stir and stir and stir. And it just stays like this big ball of stuff.
But we have a guy here, Psycho Mike, who really is so overconfident. Like, it doesn't matter what we're talking about. Psycho Mike will go, oh, I can do it. It'd be easy, bro. No problem. Who's with me? I can do anything.
He has done a lot of food challenges successfully.
Destroying everything. Stuff you won't even go on the air with because I kicked the ass of whoever you brought into challenge. And you know
what
that
happens.
About.
We hide it a lot. So it's time for Psycho Mike to take the cinnamon challenge.
The cinnamon challenge. Beer mug.
His eyes are watering. He's shaking his head no.
Did you really think he was going to do it?
Not swallowing. Oh, no, no, no.
We've got vomit. Oh, that's not how we wanted that to end.
Fail. Intern Gaga.
Eyes are watery.
I remember this.
Fail. Then Miss Cleo tried a new approach.
Plug your nose, that's it. The cinnamon tastes bad.
And she even tried cheating.
Hey, you're breaking it into two.
I didn't know we could break it into two.
Yeah.
Hey, doesn't Miss Cleo owe us some jumping jacks? Fail. It's been a long, hard road. That's what she said. Will anyone be able to conquer the cinnamon challenge? Will it be the most overconfident man who never thinks he's wrong, douchebag? Ladies and gentlemen, Psycho Mike.
All right, here's the important thing, and we will, of course, Lightning is here videoing this for KevinAndBean.com, and it will be up in an hour or so. But the important thing is, if you're trying it at home, don't take a spoon out of the drawer in your kitchen. It has to be an actual tablespoon, and that's an actual measurement. It's not fluid. It's not arbitrary.
More importantly, don't try this at home.
Oh, but if you do, I'm just saying. If you do, that's how the pros do it. Yeah. So, Psycho Mike, you have a tablespoon of cinnamon. You have watched the others at KevinAndBean.com. You have seen everybody else fail. Cleo failed.
Yeah.
Gaga failed. Beer Mug failed. What are you going to do differently today?
Nothing. I'm just going to go
just
for
gonna
it.
Just going to do it.
But here's the thing. Are we sure this is a tablespoon?
Yes. We double-checked that, yes.
Okay.
It looks like a lot. I know.
No, I know. It does look like. And I know what a tablespoon is, but it's just like I don't trust Cleo in her measurements.
No,
and
no. We checked
it before. There's
milliliters
and cc's
right,
on here.
We did the we added it up when they both did it. Gaga swallowed twice, by the way.
Yeah, I don't have.
Whoa, hey.
I don't have a specific strategy.
Okay.
I'm just going to try and barge it. I know this is probably not going to be easy, but here we go.
All right.
Anyway, any rules I should know about? I mean,
well,
do I have a time limit?
We gave Beer Mug a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
And no one has made it to a minute.
Right.
They've all
given up.
Thrown up. Yeah. Not okay. given up.
Does anybody want to get a trash can near
yes,
me or something?
Sure.
Just in case.
Lisa,
okay. Yeah.
All right. You ready?
By the way, Jose on staff here at the Kevin Amede Show, IMs, my prediction, pain.
Yeah.
So let's see how you do, Psycho Mike. Good luck. The cinnamon challenge on the Kevin Amede Show.
All right. He has tilted his head back, and he's got a mouthful of cinnamon. Moving it around.
Swishing.
Just swallowed. I just saw him swallow.
There wow. Psycho Mike seems like a guy, because of the extreme fitness addict that he is pretty good at mind over matter and being hyper-focused on the task at hand.
He just glanced.
He does a lot of stuff that you and I couldn't do because he's committed to it when he does it.
He did just glance at the trash can.
It's getting a little...
Yeah.
Kevin and I talked about this yesterday, and I said, I don't know, I think I might put my money on Mike, but
well,
know,
if it comes down,
his face now.
If it comes down to sheer will...
Yeah, then Mike's the guy.
Yeah, but it may not. How's it going, Mike?
But physically, it's still not a pleasant sensation to have that much cinnamon.
Oh, okay. Just
a puff of cinnamon.
No reversals.
Just came out of his mouth.
Can you make smoke rings when you do that?
he did some though. Yeah.
Did he get? That's what she said. Did he get the big poof of cinnamon out of his nose that everybody gets?
Oh, no, not
like
the nose.
A bowl.
Not the nose.
But
just
the
mouth.
He just blew a smoke ring.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I don't know how Mike is.
Yes. He's already gone further than anyone has at this point.
I don't know how he's feeling. I do know that it is riveting radio to listen to a guy swallow. I do know that.
Especially when you can't hear it. Yeah. All right. We are at about a minute.
He's actually chewing it, which I don't think anybody else did.
Shake your head.
I'm going to be impressed if he does it, because there are literally hundreds of YouTube videos of people failing at the Cinnamon Challenge. So if Mike does it, he is in the elite group of those who have conquered it.
Now, if he goes a minute...
It's over a minute now, but...
But that's okay, right?
Let's have him finish.
There's been no reversal.
I don't know that they put
Nobody
that minute...
Nobody else could have done it.
Right.
Regardless.
And by the way, Frank Shamrock coming in a couple of minutes. Let's see if he wants to try it, too, since he's here.
I was going to say shake your head yes or no for... And when I said shake your head, he shook his head no. I didn't even finish. What?
I'm going to do this.
Are you done?
I think he's getting there.
You're going to do it.
Wow.
You're going to get a lot of dates out of this.
Oh, my God!
Did it!
Unbelievable.
What's up now, bitch?
Oh! And imagine how fresh and clean your poop is going
to
smell.
And I want Omar to re-record a new intro.
Wow!
And
you're
the guy who always keeps his word and ends up doing stuff that he says he can do.
What happened?
Very impressive.
Let me give you a rundown.
Yes. Right.
Yes, please, because we're dying to know what the problem is here.
Not only is it super fine and really hard, because it just every piece of saliva you have gets drawn into it immediately.
But it doesn't mix.
But, like ginger or anything else like that, that's super flavorful. It really burns. And once you get that first little poof down your throat, it hurts. I mean, and so you have to just power through that.
Okay.
And your sinuses go wacky and haywire, and you just got to kind of keep
did
your
it.
Composure. I did. I fully did it.
You did it.
Yeah, I crushed it.
He did
was
it.
Was there ever a time that you thought you might hurl?
Not hurl.
Did you
but,
ever get that gag reflex
not
at all
hurl,
from the cinnamon?
But spit it all back up for sure. Like, I mean, I thought that it was just too overwhelming for my mouth, and I was going to have to get rid of it. But
that's what she said.
But you know what you do?
What?
You rely on your heart, Kevin.
Is that
you know
right?
What I'm saying? That's what I learned in the trenches of Nye.
You never went to Nye.
USA, USA, USA.
My name is Frank Shamrock. I turned pro in 8 months, and I just went for it, balls to the wall. And there's nothing that is more beautiful than the painted canvas of just totally kicking someone's ass.
What kind of you started in fighting?
I didn't want to go to college.
When was the last time you got beaten up?
Grade school.
What happened to that guy?
He probably went to college.
Rate your quickness.
10.
Rate your strength.
10.
Technique.
10.
Rate your endurance.
10.
Rate your confidence.
11.
What's something we'd never guess about you?
I cry when the national anthem comes on.
Frank, the legend Shamrock.
Here's a...
Wait, hang on. Let's give it a shot. Watching.
Here's
watching.
What I... Here's what I love about Frank, by the way.
He's not crying right now.
That's just so wrong.
What I love about Frank is that he's a former UFC champion. He's a former WEC champion. He's a former Strike Force champion. Yet he won't eat a tablespoon of cinnamon. That's what I love about Frank. He knows his limits.
I'm smart. That's why.
I'm sorry. Lisa just called you a baby.
I can get away with that.
Wow.
Choke her out, Frank. Choke her out.
She's got a mauve belt. I wouldn't mess with her.
Yeah, I'm not messing
whatever
with her.
Whatever.
I know her history.
We We are always quick to say yes when we hear that Frank Shamrock is in town and available to come in on the Kevin and Bean Show, because you are one of our favorite guys to come in and talk about MMA. And there's so much. I mean, this month, by the way, June 2010, seems like the biggest month in the history of the MMA with all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, it's crazy. This,
you know,
this,
with the UFC and then the Ultimate Fighter, and then there's another WEC thing happening later this month, and you got the Strikeforce thing tomorrow, all happening within the span of about 2 weeks. It's crazy for fans right now.
It's nuts, but it's what we need.
Tell us about Strikeforce Los Angeles.
Well, it's going to be huge. It's really just a special show we put together to sort of feature and kind of tee up the EA Sports MMA game, which is just going to be massive for us and, yeah, and the entire sport. And we brought out two really hard-hitting indie guys, you know, Lawler and Bob Blue, are just going to tear it up. I mean, these guys, and they're fighting at a weird catchweight of 195, which I think gives a huge edge to Bob Blue and just power. So I don't know. I think it's just going
to
be.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So that when you say it's a catchweight, does that mean it's not the ideal weight for either fighter?
Yeah, I think it's sort of a middle weight, and the beauty of Strikeforce is, you know, we're interested in putting on the best martial arts, so we don't care what the weight is as long as the two guys agree on it and they're down, right, to go bang. And you know, right, 195 was a weird weight, but if you know, I just think it's right in the middle of both of these guys' comfort zone.
I'm gonna write that down. Down to go bang.
That could be used.
Let's not be looping that up.
So are they fighting for a title?
No title. This is just, you know, they've both had losses. They're both sort of repositioning themselves as, you know, contenders in whatever weight class I guess they're choosing. I mean, mm-hmm, they're kind of just repositioning themselves as stars. And whoever comes out of this one, I think they're both going to be stars, to be honest with you. But I think whoever wins this will be in title contention for whichever title they want to kind of eyeball.
So it's going to be at Nokia Theater, LA Live, downtown Los Angeles, this afternoon, tomorrow at 5:30.
Yep.
Or 5:15. And then it's on Showtime later that night.
Yep.
So whoever wins will either gain weight or lose weight and then go for a title in the next fight, probably.
I think so.
Which,
I
mean, is harder, gaining weight or losing weight?
For me, it was always gaining weight because I was always a small guy fighting way out of my league, you know, weight classes.
Yeah.
I think for most people, it's harder to lose the weight because they're naturally bigger people and they're trying
and
to compete in lower weight classes.
You're trying to stay strong, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem, and that's the challenge. They literally cut weight like 3 days before, just, and then they're weak. A lot of times you see guys in there and they're weak. They haven't really rehydrated yet. And
yeah, there's a lot of, you know, weight cutting in this industry, and I don't particularly agree with it, but there is an edge to it by way of size and weight and advantage. And, you know, some guys are cutting 12, 15 pounds, you know, over 3, 5, 7 days. And, I mean, it's something you got to delicately do. It's certainly.
How do you do that? Just drink water and don't eat?
I don't know. I've never cut more than 6 pounds in my life.
Oh,
that,
really?
That didn't take me more than 5 minutes. I don't believe in all that self-torture. I save all my self-torture for the cage.
All right. Well, so you don't torture yourself in the cage.
I get my opponent to do all right, it for good. Me.
6 pounds, all you need is a bathroom and a newspaper. You can take care of that, right?
Oh, cup of coffee,
you know,
in the LA Times.
That before you elaborated.
We understood.
You.
We knew
too much. Too much information.
Yes.
I got it. Yeah. Hey, I know you get asked this all the time, but what is the future of Jake Shields? He is a free agent right now. Is he coming back, or what's he going to do?
I hope he moves on. He has one of the most boring styles I have ever seen, and
really?
I wish him the best of luck in all
and
of his
bye-bye.
Career.
So you're undecided by how you feel about him?
Yeah, I haven't really picked a decision on that. Yeah, we're in the sports entertainment business. If your sport style is not entertaining, please find the door.
All right.
Because I go out there and I break my limbs for this sport. I think it's the sexiest and most entertaining thing in the world. If you're not in the same game, then go somewhere else.
But you don't try to break your limbs.
Well, I don't, but they just happen to break as I'm out there doing my thing.
All right. We need to take a break. Strikeforce Los Angeles again is tomorrow at 5:15 Nokia Theater, and then it airs on Showtime later that night. And we've got Frank Shamrock in the studio, and we will continue on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Frank Shamrock is in our studio right now talking about Strikeforce Los Angeles tomorrow at the Nokia Theater at LA Live downtown, and you can you still get tickets for it, Frank? Or is it you can still get tickets if you want to see it live and in person?
You can still get tickets. There's only a few left, but you can still get them at Ticketmaster, Ticketmaster.com, and Strikeforce.com, where you can show up there and try to buy one.
And it will be aired on Showtime same night at 11 o'clock Eastern and Pacific. That sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, your family name was in the press a lot this week. Obviously, you know. You're the legend, but the world's dangerous man, your brother Ken, did an interview Friday night on a show called Fighting Words with Mike Straka, where he finally admitted to using steroids while he was fighting. No surprise to you. You've been saying it for years.
Well, you know, I just tell the truth. I don't know if I've been saying it, but, you know, it's been no joke. I mean, it's been no, you know, secret in our family what Ken's been doing and whatnot. And I mean, I guess it's good that he's
telling the truth, but I mean, it's kind of a little bit
too
late.
Why do people step in and tell the truth when they're all done? What's the point of that?
I don't know.
He's not the first one.
Maybe it's purging. I don't know. Maybe it feels bad for lying to everybody for 20 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I asked you this off the air. I'd like to get your answer on the air, which is what percentage of UFC fighters or any MMA are doing steroids?
Well, I think you should look at sports in general because I don't think it's specific to any sport. But like I was saying, you know, I think it's a high percentage, but I think it's the high percentage at the very top level and at the very low level. And I say that because the beginning guys don't really know what to do. So they look for the shortcut.
They think they need that.
They think they need an edge. And they see guys like Ken with great builds. And
you just said gays like Ken.
Gays like
Ken.
I know it came out. I'm so sorry. We're not going to loop that, all right, team?
That was subliminal but intentional.
Hey, Mike, loop that. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
But, you know, they see these extraordinary physiques, the young guys, and they think they need to look like that.
Right.
So I think it's at the high end and the bottom end.
And the high end is because you're getting older and you
get
need
old.
And you're trying to hang on to where you are.
You're trying to hang on. And look, I'm 37, man. I am crippled.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes me a good 30, 40 minutes to get out of bed. And every day I get physical therapy because I crippled myself in 15 years of fighting. And I've never done steroids. And I'll say that at the beginning and the middle of the end of my career because I don't believe in the psychological, edge or lack of edge that it gives you. I watched Ken be the world's most dangerous man when he was on steroids. When he was not on steroids, he was a pussycat.
Really?
He was not the world's most dangerous man. And I didn't want to mess with my psyche like that. That's why I never did it. Nothing to do with my body. I just didn't want to mess with my mind.
But let me ask you this, Ken, because you were at the top of your
game. This is Frank.
Call me Ken.
Sorry, Frank. I apologize. Let me ask you this, Frank, because you were at the top of your game and a title holder and, you know, all the different kinds of martial arts. Weren't there times where you felt like it might help you, where you were tempted because you could see the younger, faster, stronger competition coming up behind you?
100%. When I blew my knee out and I walked in there and fought Phil Brony with no knee and tendons, and when I had to be carried in and out of the ring, I thought for certain this would be the time that I needed to do something.
Yeah. Not before, but afterwards to heal, right?
Yeah, because I was crippled before and after my fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I went back to my camp and when I went back to what I believe in, you know, my mind is my greatest tool and asset, and I'm never going to jeopardize that for anything.
Does your broken back still hurt you on a daily basis?
Every day.
Wow.
Ugh. Every day. I have a spondy L3 and L4. They told me when I was 16 I would never play sports. I needed immediate spinal surgery, and they apologized for the amount of pain I'd be in. I told them I got problems with that because I'm going to become a world champion in this brand new sport I'm going to create.
Okay.
And I'm going to change the world with it.
So that brings us to the next thing, which is the mind of a fighter. I don't understand. The Chuck Liddell fight, Rich Franklin, got his arm broken near the beginning of the first round, fought the rest of the round, still threw punches with it. It wasn't very effective, but threw punches with it, and then knocked out Chuck Liddell at the end of the first round. And then Joe Rogan said, did you feel like you couldn't come out in the second round? That's why you had to really turn it on? And he laughed.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I fought with a broken hand before. What's a broken arm?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there in my chair going, a broken arm is me sobbing like a baby and going to the hospital. That's what a broken... How do you fight with no knee? How do you fight with a broken arm?
We are fighting machines.
Right.
We are...
But you're human.
Not feel it no, while we're not. You're fighting?
We are not human.
You're not human.
No human stays in the gym 8 hours a day, meditates, trains, stretches, focus, and thinks about nothing but fighting 24 hours a
do
day.
Do you feel the same... Would I feel the same level of pain that you would? Or would it be worse for me?
It would be much, much worse for you because you've never experienced it and you don't participate in a daily basis. I broke my arm and fought three more rounds. I didn't quit until the bone separated, and then I was screaming for morphine because nothing is more horrible than the bone separating in your arm.
Oh, dear. Ouch. God.
But until then, you were fighting
until
the three rounds.
I was good, man.
Did you try to hide it from the other fighter? Did they try to take advantage of that?
I started shaking it unconsciously because when I'd punch, the bones, because they were broken, would vibrate.
Oh.
And it would cause this really horrible pain. So
the
shaking was kind of helping me, but I think the shaking was showing him that my hand was hurting. I don't really know.
That's where I fall to the floor and just start tapping. Hey, the guy's not anywhere near me. I'm just like, I'm out!
Frank, did you win that fight?
I didn't. I didn't. I lost. The broken arm was a little too much.
Yeah. Well, I think you had an excuse. But here's the other thing, by the way. If that's me and I break my arm, I'm not going back and fighting anytime soon. I bet you were back in the ring like a month later, weren't you?
I came back about 10 months later, and I fought with the plate in my arm, which now I have... I didn't wear it today, but... He used to wear it as a necklace.
What, the plate?
The plate, yeah.
Had
him take it out, and I got it as a necklace now.
Nice.
Frank Shamrock is in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Strike Force LA is tomorrow. Nokia Theater, LA Live, downtown Los Angeles. See it on Showtime later in the night. But even better, go down and see it in person. Real quick before you go, because our friend Adam Sessler is coming on to talk all about E3. You're going to be at the big E3 convention this week in Los Angeles as well for a very specific reason. What's going on, Frank?
Well, EA Sports is putting out the biggest mixed martial arts video game on the planet, EA Sports MMA. And I've been working with these guys for about 2 years. It is extraordinary. It is the journey of mixed martial arts. You can be a fighter. You can go around the world. You can train. You can do it exactly like all of us have done.
But you don't break your arm.
But you don't have to break your arm.
And if you do, you can keep playing the game and it doesn't hurt.
You just reset it.
Well, that's just, wow. That's an amazing story. All right, Strike Force Los Angeles. Frank, like Bean said, every time your name comes up, we're an instant yes.
Right on. Well,
we love having you in, and we appreciate you coming in. Are you going to be doing anything with this fight tomorrow? Are you just promoting it? Or
I'm just promoting it. I'm just hanging out, and then I just came to see you guys.
Fantastic. All
right, selling T-shirts, making a little money on the side?
Nah, my wife's coming. We're going to hang out and drink beer ringside like we used to for the baby game.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, good for
looking
you.
Forward to it.
I like it. Have fun, Frank. Thank you.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, highlights from a program on TLC that aired a couple nights ago called Extreme Poodles.
What?
Coming up.
I saw the ad for this.
Sorry,
I saw the ad for this, and it's all weird colors and ridiculous haircuts. And,
Extreme Poodles.
Oh, boy, you could tell the owners of those poodles are just nightmares.
You're going to love it so much. First, though, Ralph is on vacation this week. Everything is fine with Olivia. Do not be concerned. It was a previously scheduled trip. We are filling in for the show, Bisbee. This is very sad news and very disturbing, and another reason why you don't want to live in Indonesia. Do you know that there is an anti-porn law in
what?
Indonesia? You can go to jail for making and seeing pornography.
I have no idea.
What?
How about that? And it is in the news a lot this week because a huge pop star over there has a sex tape that has just clips have surfaced on the internet. His name is Nasril Iram. He is a very popular pop star over there. And there is a sex tape that has leaked of him with his girlfriend, who apparently is also a celebrity. And they may be charged under this anti-pornography law. They could be facing up to 10 years in prison and a fine of $500,000, even if the tape was, you know, it's one of those deals where they say the laptop was stolen. Even if the tape was taped for private consumption and they never meant for it to be released, they could still do jail time and have that huge fine.
That's what? Crazy.
I know.
That a leaked sex tape would put them in jail.
Where is this?
Indonesia.
And I love some of the comments from the government officials who are like, why would anybody tape such a private thing? Why would somebody do that? I don't understand it. So anyway, we will definitely be following the story and doing everything we can to find it online so that we can continue to bring you the outstanding coverage. You should see his girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah.
This model actress girlfriend that he's with in this video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to further investigate this story.
I think it's worth him going to jail for us to be able to see it.
You're fine with him going to jail.
Yeah, I'm good with that. No problem.
It is weird. Look, I understand there are destructive effects of pornography, but so what? Right?
Well, it certainly seems like maybe their jails aren't overflowing like ours are, but you could do serious crime here and be out in a month or something because they're so overcrowded.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We did that. Psycho Mike would spend a life sentence. Lindsay Lohan, here's some good news for her. It's been bad news so long.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the drugs, problems, the court, she doesn't show up, and then her assistant quit. But here's some good news. She and Samantha Ronson are back together.
Yeah!
Oh,
woo! Oh, great.
Woo! According to Star Magazine, they started talking after Lindsay's sentencing and are taking things slow. But they are back together.
What a disaster.
And
doesn't he know how crazy she is? Come on.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. You'd think he would not want to date her again for life after all
no
the stuff
kidding.
That's going on.
A couple of days ago, Ralph Garman was talking about all of the remakes in the pipeline with movies. It just seemed like every movie you ever saw was being remade. Two are in the news today. One I understand because it was a great movie originally. Cleopatra. The original was done way back in 1963 with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. At the time, it was the most expensive movie ever made. There is a new version called Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile that is being discussed. And rumors are that Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt would star in that movie. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, or whether they would want to do another movie together now that they're actually a couple. But isn't Lisa Yu, of course, who would be familiar with the original, isn't that terrific casting for that movie?
Yeah, they'd be awesome. They
would be perfect.
Would be great
to play that. Yeah. The other movie I'm not quite as excited about. They are talking about a remake of "Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead."
Yeah,
I like that movie.
The movie? No, you don't.
Sort of.
Christina Applegate.
It is in a cheesy.
Really?
In a cheesy bad way.
Hey, you're done, man.
It's cheesy.
This, for folks who don't remember the movie from back in 1991, it's five kids who are left at home with an old person as a babysitter who dies of a heart attack. And what happens after that? Christina Applegate has to go out and get a job and they don't tell anybody or something?
She is like a wayward, wacky teenager, but because she's now in charge, she's the oldest, she has to like get a job and become a career lady, all in the span of time while their parents are on vacation.
That's what I don't understand. Aren't their parents gone for like 10 days? Why does she have to go out and get a job to support the family for 10 days?
She ends up becoming like a tycoon.
Look, it's not on anyone's top 10 list, but it's so cheesy that I mean, it's one of those that I think works on a
and
cheesy
she's
level.
Really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christina Applegate's great. She's awesome. And I remember her being excellent in that movie. I just can't believe that movie needs to be remade. I don't get that.
Yeah. Dakota Fanning is a better person than I am. She's one of the young stars in Hollywood, but school still comes first.
Really?
She's 16. She told Access Hollywood that she couldn't make it to the cast screening of Eclipse because she had to take a college admission test.
Wow. Look at her.
After my first movie, I would go, goodbye, college.
But then you look at people like Jodie Foster, who went to Harvard, didn't she?
Right.
I think she's Yale.
Yale?
All of those people are better than me.
Yeah.
I would quit at my first opportunity.
It would definitely take some real dedication to say, I can make a lot of money as a movie star, but I am going to, like Natalie Portman did the same thing, by the way, I'm going to put my career on hold and go and get an education just in case it doesn't work out.
And I mean, Dakota Fanning doesn't just have one movie. I mean, she has a career. She does.
Absolutely. She's going to be fine. And she's a terrific actress,
too. She could predict the future, and it will include her being a movie star.
She's not doing this as a fallback, I'm sure. She's doing it because she just wants to.
Yeah.
That's why she's better than we are.
That's why she's better than we are on every level.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I never saw her in anything other than Airplane, but she was perfect in that movie. Actress Julie Haggerty turns 55 years old today. Leah Remini, sitcom TV star, turns 40 today. Actress Courtney Cox from Friends and now Cougar Town turns 46. Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt, who's very selective about the movies she chooses to be in. Don't see her very often, that's for sure. She is 47 years old today. Jim Belushi, the wrong Belushi brother, who's still alive, is 56 today. Actor Jake Busey turns 39. Former star of Doogie Howser and current star of How I Met Your Mother. And perhaps the most popular actor in the world, Neil Patrick Harris, is 37 years old today. And Ice Cube turns 41 today. The mother effing Ice Cube is 41. And that is the Ralph Showbiz.
Yeah, before you email, that's called Anything by Drama Rama.
Is it new or?
No. Okay. It's the world famous K-Rock at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
So Sunday, the wife and I are watching Toddlers and Tiaras like we do. And
wait, what? What's that? Is that the little kids that are in the beauty pageants?
Yeah, that's the 4-year-olds that they put wigs on and heavy, heavy makeup and put them in ridiculous showgirl outfits and make them go out and twirl batons. It's the scariest, creepiest thing. And I honestly don't watch the show. Donna was watching it and I walked in. And I sit down on the couch, and the TLC channel is not where my remote lands me very often. And I had no idea the quality of programs on the Learning Channel.
It needs to. They're the freak network.
Yeah. They are the freak network. They have 2 or 3 different shows about little people.
Yes.
They have The World's Fattest Man is a show that they were promoting that was on. That's where your cake boss is, Kevin. He lives over there at the TLC, the guy who makes those crazy cakes.
It's a
bizarre channel. And they promoted a show that was going to be on later that night called Extreme Poodles. Now, what's up with Extreme Poodles, you ask? Well, here's the answer to that question.
I'm Kathy Rose, the director of the Barclay Poodle Pageant. You're going to be seeing expert stylists making over poodles into beautiful creations with color, glamour, glitz, and style.
Okay, do you understand what we're talking about here? These are people who have a dog, and rather than let that dog be a dog, they dye it, and they give it a funny haircut, and they dress it up in outfits, and then they all get together in a ballroom somewhere at a hotel in Pasadena, and they win prizes, and they win money and trophies for their
dog. One day, those dogs are going to get together, and they're going to decide, F these people.
They're going to take them down.
And they're just going to take them all down. It's going to be a slaughter.
You apparently get $5,000 is the grand prize if you win this particular competition, and you get to be on the cover of something called Groomer to Groomer magazine, which for some reason, I don't subscribe to that.
That's a good one.
But let's meet some of the crazy ladies, and they're all ladies. Every one of them is a lady. And this woman we're about to hear from now, she's one of the extreme poodle groomers. You're going to be shocked to find out that she's single.
I used to be married, and my husband at the time didn't like dogs, so I got rid of him and kept the dogs.
Okay, while she's saying that, there's video of her big standard poodle drinking out of the toilet. Now, what you're about to hear is her letting the poodle lick all over her lips while she's talking. Oh. That's what's happening here.
I colored my dog Jet, and he loves being pink.
Sure.
One trick that Jet does is he'll stick his nose right through my legs and go, I call it my chastity belt trick.
Okay, listen, lady. What's happening here? I know. The dog is crawling up her vajayjay and growling at her. That's basically what's happening there. I know. She's so crazy. Now, what kind of outfit is Jet going to be sporting in the poodle competition later?
For the big competition in Pasadena, I'm going to make Jet into a roller derby girl.
Well, sure.
He should wear fishnet stockings.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now, you understand what's happening is they're trying to make this dog look like he's a contestant playing roller derby. And she's so convinced that poor little Jet loves this and is so excited. Because if there's one thing we know about dogs, and we're all dog owners, everyone in the room, they love wearing fishnet stockings, right?
They're really big on dressing up.
Yeah. Nothing, they love all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Nothing makes them happier.
Oh, that's awesome. Jet, you have to wear a skirt. You'll be so sexy.
Oh.
I've always wanted a girl dog. I'm going to pre-dye his jersey, probably a purple. He will need to have black elbow pads and wrist guards, so his legs are going to be black.
Of course.
What about the front of the jersey? Shave down, have cleavage?
Yeah, if he's got enough hair, I can give him boobs.
Yeah.
They're going to shave the dog's hair.
No.
It's not bad enough that he's already pink. He's wearing fishnet stockings. Now they're going to give him boobs. These people have a vote in a presidential election that counts just as much as yours.
Wow.
These people.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, let's meet our next contestant and her dog. She has a theme in mind in the competition that will play on her American Indian heritage. She's decided that she's going to make her dog look like a buffalo, okay?
All right.
At the Barkley Poodle Pageant, I'm going to groom Josh as a buffalo.
Maybe carve an Indian chief in his side or something. Maybe kind of make his whole back leg a headdress.
You understand what she's doing? She's carving an Indian chief in his side, and then she's going to make his back part look like an Indian headdress. That's going to be part of the Indian theme. And then she's going to dress up like an Indian and dance around the dog on stage when they present at the poodle pageant.
Good boy. He's going to go win a competition.
The judges are going to be looking for a lot of detail, scissor work, perfection and dye work. At the Barkley Poodle Pageant,
you can color your dog ahead of time, but all the scissoring you've got to do in the ring.
I have turned creative grooming into a career. I take it very seriously.
Uh-huh. I want to be a buffalo.
I want to be a buffalo.
Oh,
by the way,
man,
what she's talking about is true. You can dye your dog ahead of time, but you have to do the scissors work at the competition. And when you show up at this competition, you get the people are in the audience watching people groom their poodles. Not a euphemism.
What?
For 2.5 hours? They have 2.5 hours to groom and decorate their poodles before they come out on stage to be judged. And that's part of the competition is watching that.
So,
poor animals.
I thought they would show up with their dog in whatever it is, and then the competition would be like in the dog shows. That's part of it. Wow.
That's part of it, yeah. Here's another contestant. Let's see what her favorite animal is and what she's going to force her dog to look like.
I picked a camel because I love camels. I'm going to give him long, slender legs.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to attach a little bit of brown yarn to the end of his tail to give him a little poof. His ears, I'll probably attach some little tiny felt camel ears. I love camels. I want to own one day. If I can't have a camel anytime soon, I'm just going to groom my poodles to look like a camel.
Okay. She shouldn't be allowed to have a camel. She shouldn't be allowed to have a dog. She shouldn't be allowed to live on her own.
Wow.
Here's the woman who's dressing her dog up and carving her dog out to look like a lion, and she describes how the whole family gets into the act in extreme poodle challenges.
My husband and my children, they really kind of like to help out. Mm-hmm. Very supportive.
Nope. Great at grooming. Three words to describe it would be ridiculous, lunacy, and ridiculous.
Exactly, sir. Exactly. Why are you still married to that lady? Why are you letting her dress your dog up like a lion and belly dance around it? All right, a couple more clips from Extreme Poodles on TLC. Here's my favorite. This is Jet's owner getting him prepared for the competition with a little bit of a pep talk.
Jet, ready to go? You want to go get your hair cut? Jet, you want to get your hair blow dried? You want to get the comb? You want to go say hi to Grandma? Yeah? Are you ready to go? You want to go onto the table? You want to get brushed? You want to have a bath? I want to get your hair brushed. You want to get hairbrushed?
Why hasn't that dog killed her?
I don't know. Where's the face ripping off dog when you need it?
Yes, exactly. Hire that lady's monkey. Do whatever you have to do, but take this woman out.
Wow.
Now, the only part of the program I actually enjoyed, because I thought it would be a lot of fun, but it was so creepy and so sad that I did not enjoy the program. The only part that I really liked is the real world challenge. When you have a dog that you have in a confined space for several hours, there are certain needs that have to be counted on, right?
Sure.
And the dog that's being dressed up like a camel has a problem for its owner.
The worst thing that could go wrong is Odin is refusing to poop. Come on, go potty. Come here, come on. He hasn't pooped for a good solid 24 hours, maybe a little more. This is all we have. This is it. I can't give you 5 acres. I just hope he doesn't relieve himself on my table.
Well, I think you know exactly what happened.
Yeah, the dog is fighting back.
Well, the whole poop issue with Odin, he just went poop for us, and he was farting on the table, and it was... Okay. It's just something dog groomers have to deal with.
Okay, look. All right.
Wow.
Why is there a show on my TV where dogs are farting? Why is that a show? How could there be a show where dogs are farting?
We need a military drone and we need some Hellfire missiles.
This is not only why the Muslims hate us, this is why I hate us. That is Extreme Poodles. I don't know why he decided to do it. I guess we'll ask, but we're talking to a guy in a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show who has created a website, kind of like a Foursquare deal where you check in with details of when you had sex. So we'll find out what that's all about coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we always enjoy getting emails from you. You can find all of our email addresses at kevinandbean.com. Get a lot of reaction to the cinnamon challenge that we've been doing the past few weeks here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Beer Mug did it first and failed, right?
Yes.
Then intern Gaga tried it, and she failed and threw up in the sink, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cleo, I don't even know what the hell happened with Cleo. She screwed the whole thing up. That didn't work. So earlier today, Psycho Mike took the cinnamon challenge, which is to swallow a tablespoon of cinnamon, and succeeded with very little difficulty.
Was it difficult? It looked easy.
It hurt. It burned.
It was unpleasant, right?
Power through. Exactly.
Yeah.
It was unpleasant.
Well, the video is up at kevinandbean.com. If you want to see somebody accomplish the cinnamon challenge, it's there. I've got two emails on that topic. First from Ace, who writes in, "Hey, guys, I think there's an asterisk next to Mike's name on the cinnamon challenge. He's gay, so he has no gag reflex."
Aww.
So there's that, which
that's
I hadn't even thought about.
That is true. That gives him an advantage.
Certainly does give him an advantage. And this one, this is Mark who writes in, "Hey, F you guys for bringing the cinnamon challenge to your listeners' attention. Of course, some or lots of us would try it because it looks so simple. Well, I tried it, and it was effing awful." Look, I'm aware that no one told me to do it, and it's on me. But like I said, it looked simple. It was effing awful. Did I mention that, Mark? Listen, here's good advice. Here's good advice for you, Mark, and any fans of the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't do what we do, okay?
That's true. Why we do it, so you don't have to.
That's also true of every TV show and, you know, Jackass and all of that stuff. Just don't be dumb. It's ridiculous. We were talking about soccer.
Mike gets paid to be dumb. You don't have to do it.
We were talking about soccer on Friday, and Ralph is not a fan of soccer. So this guy writes in, "So Ralph, you don't like real football, but you like playing catch. Leave our sport alone if you don't like it." And then he goes on and he types in gigantic font, "F-U-U, damned, D-A-M-M, troglodyte, a-hole, you ignotent, mother-effed you." And then Ralph wrote back, "Nothing funnier than someone calling someone else ignorant and spelling it wrong. Thanks for the laughs."
Very true.
That was one. The other, do you have the sound effect of the vuvuzelas?
There it is. It goes on for every match during the World Cup, the entire game.
That's not when they score. You know, like in hockey, they have sirens and music. Right. And that is for the full 45 minutes of the first half, the full 45
minutes
of the second.
Like background music.
Yes. Hi. I heard you talk about the vuvuzelas during your show yesterday. I think I have an idea to solve the problem. When I was in college, I was born in Canada. Now I live in Europe. We use something like the vuvuzela for a drinking game. You put a couple of beers, and boom, in 2 seconds, everything's gone. So what I suggest is put vodka in every single one of the vuvuzelas. I'm pretty sure you can't make noise when you're in a coma. Hope to be a part of the solution, Dan.
I like it.
Nice effort. Anything at this point to get rid of the vuvuzelas. I think we're going to call South Africa next hour, by the way, and see if we can just talk them into voluntarily giving them up. But they seem to be pretty heavily invested into those things over there.
No, one call will do it. Don't worry about
couple
that.
Couple days on the Kevin Abid Show, we were talking about the highest high and then the lowest low. There were a couple of great examples in the news. One is that Angels player who hit a Grand Slam walk-off home run, and then he broke his leg at home plate in the player celebration.
Yes.
Then we brought you the story about the guy who was having sex with his lady friend out on the front lawn, and the police showed up and tased him while he was still naked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you're doing great, highest high, and then seconds later, lowest low. And I was saying there ought to be some sort of a phrase or word or something like that in English. There ought to be something to describe that, because that has to happen, right?
Right, right.
Well, I got two email suggestions, and you tell me which one you like. First, Jason writes in. I listen to you guys on the podcast. I want to let you know that the literary technique used by writers to refer to the highest high followed by the lowest low is called emotional reversal. I'm an English teacher. We often talk about the technique in relation to Shakespeare's tragedy. Emotional reversal.
Oh,
okay?
I like that.
I know how you like to stay current. Now you can say thanks for that info and move on. That's from Jason. But then I got this email from Henry, and I don't know. You tell me which one you guys like. I was listening to the podcast of you guys talking about the highest high and the lowest lows. Yeah, there is a term for that. It's called boner kill. Just giving you my input. Love you guys.
Wow, especially in the case of the guy in the front lawn.
So maybe boner kill is the official word we should be using.
Got this one from listener Kevin, who writes, dude, F that Maria Menounos bitch. F the Celtics, get her off the radio, and I agree 100%.
It doesn't make Maria a bad person because she grew up in Boston and roots heartily for her hometown team, Kevin.
That makes her bad.
Yes,
grown up there, you'd be doing the same
thing. I would not.
Yes, you would. If you had grown up in Boston, you would be a Celtics fan.
I wouldn't, because I have
taste. How dare you?
I would root for anyone else.
And finally, Bean, this email begins. True story. Yesterday, I was having the very serious breakup conversation with my girlfriend of almost 3 years. When she was talking, all I could hear in my head was big booty bitches over and over and over again. But that's okay. What she had to say couldn't have been important anyway. P.S. I'm 34 years old. I've been listening to you guys since your very first show. Aww. I moved to Manhattan, Kansas, where I am a cop. Thank you to streaming radio. If you ever need a correspondent for any news out my way, I'll do that. The news gets here pretty fast, too. Can you guys believe Michael Jackson died? I just heard. Crazy. Wade, thanks a lot for listening. And thanks to everybody for emailing us here at the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was having just huge amounts of sex, like I do. And I mean, I was just nailing down everything that moved.
Yeah.
And like I do. And it was fine. The girls all loved it, of course. But gross. I felt a little empty afterwards because I didn't feel like there was a way for me to post on the internet where and how I had made sex. Like, that was what was required to really make it feel like I was done.
Well,
if there was only some sort of opportunity that I have to brag to the whole world about where I'm getting laid.
Is this where I do my part?
This is you, yes.
Well, Bean, we have just the thing.
You're telling me that IJustMadeLove.com is a real thing?
That's correct. And we have the creator, Cyprian Sheikhsimwitzes, on the phone.
Cyprian, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, guys. Hi. I'm pretty good. Thank you. Good.
Did I say your last name accurately?
Oh, it was very close. I mean, it was almost there. It's Chichikish, but yeah.
Yeah.
Nope,
there's way more letters than that.
You are in Poland, sir? Where are you?
Yes, I'm in Poland, Warsaw right now.
Okay,
very good, sir. All right, IJustMadeLove.com. How would you describe that to our listeners, please?
You know, it's a place on the web where you can see where, you know, something beautiful happens, you know, anytime on Earth. So that's how I would describe this. You know, it's a place.
So people,
for people to share their good moments.
So when that happens, they can go there and they can tell you what city. Do they put in the coordinates? What do? They put in an address?
You can do it two ways. We actually have two ways to do it. One way is to use your laptop and your internet and go to the map, zoom into wherever you made love, like, you know, put your address and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Highlight your house or whatever you did it. Or the other, the funnier way to do it is actually use your cell phone with the GPS. We have applications on cell phones.
Oh, I see.
And you can actually press one button. We will, send a GPS coordinate to the internet, and
I got you.
It will show up on the website.
Now, is that all you do is show where you did it, or is there more?
Oh, there's more.
Well, there's a little bit more. You know, we wanted to, put some more spicy details. You know, so you can, highlight, like, what positions you made of, you made love with, what place exactly, like, inside, outside, in the car, in the boat, or something like that. You can tell us, your orientation and did you make love with a condom, so was it your first time? Those are kind of details.
At that point, I'd like to suggest, do we need to know whether they used a condom?
I think it's a pretty funny statistic. But yeah,
yes, but
somebody needs to know this.
I'm saying that might be one piece too many. One piece of
now, memory. The question that I have, Cyprian, and you haven't mentioned this so far, is where do I put in how much I had to pay?
Oh, lovely. You can put it in the comments.
Just in the comment section. Okay, good, because nobody's handed it out for free. I do know that much. Now, ijustmadelove.com, I'm on the site right now. It says that currently you have over 116,000 couples that have checked in already.
Couples.
How long has the site been up?
Oh, the site has been up a year because we created it in May 2009.
Okay.
And we got a lot of interest from people about 3 months after we created the website, because we had a really hard time to advertise the website. Nobody would actually want to advertise it because, of this spicy, erotic
sure.
kind of thing.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But,
we're happy to share this with our listeners. This is right up their alley. Now, some countries on your world map have zero people making love. What's up with that? I mean, why aren't there people in, Morocco or Norway or Greenland who are posting?
I think the problem is with the news about the website. I mean, not everybody knows about the website, so it wouldn't be true to say, they don't make love. But it's more of, newspapers and blogs and things like that didn't, advertise there. So
is it true?
I think that the actual least country that made love is Africa. Like, not the country, but the place where people make love.
Well, and it's funny because the one thing we know about Africa is they have plenty of people. They just don't have a lot of internet. I think
they
that's what's going on.
They have a lot of laptops, too.
I don't think they
have a laptop.
Okay.
But I don't think they have much internet. Hey, Cyprian, and if you're just joining us, our friend is on the phone from Poland talking about his website, ijustmadelove.com. Where, if you know, sir, where in the United States is the place where you have had the most people check in from having sex?
Well, so far it's just New York area.
New York?
Sure. That makes sense.
It's because of the number of people, probably.
Right. Right. This makes perfect sense because before the internet, you would just call your friend. That happened to me. Like, literally, we got done and the guy got on the phone.
Nice.
We're still just laying in bed to call his friend.
Dude, you'll never believe it.
Hey, I'm laying right here.
I know.
That's awesome.
So at least now you can be a little sneaky about it.
Is it true that you can put up photos?
No, you cannot put photos anymore. We did this option at the beginning, but it wasn't that good, People would post inappropriate pictures, and we didn't want to, make a website inappropriately. So
you didn't want it to be porn.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, you can't be perfect, Cyprian. All right. Well, I think it sounds like a great idea. It we are getting to the point here in the 21st century where people don't think something is real unless it somehow lives online. Every single thought has to be on Twitter. Every single place that you go or thing that you do or person you meet has to be on Facebook. And now it's even gotten into the bedroom where it has to be on ijustmadelove.com. I mean, that's the way the world is going. And I wish you a great deal of success with the site. We find it very entertaining. Cyprian, thank you.
Thank you so much, guys, for asking.
Cyprian Siekiewicz.
Good.
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:55.
Ralph Garman is on vacation. Everything's fine. He's fine. Olivia's fine. You don't have to email him. He's fine. He's just on vacation. But we are filling in for the Showbiz Beat this week. It's producer Alex's turn this time around. What's going on?
Hang on. I just made love.com. K-Rock bathroom.
What? Did you say K-Rock bathroom?
Reverse cowgirl.
What?
Whoa. Dave already posted it. You're
Security
fine.
Security guard Charles.
What's up,
Did
everybody?
You keep it funky?
There you go. Oh, I kept it juicy. Funky and juicy. People in South Korea like to bang.
Hey! Hey!
After their World Cup win, about a million red-shirted fans, including 200,000 in Seoul, packed boulevards, stadiums, and parks to cheer on their 2-0 win over Greece. According to the Bakwang family market chain, their store saw a near doubling of condom sales in spots where fans had gathered.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Waka waka! Good on you, South Korea. In related news, Tiger Woods could have used a raincoat because apparently he has a secret love child with one of his mistresses.
Oh,
that is not a surprise.
Really?
But weren't you waiting for it?
Well, yeah. No, I had given up on that because I figured if that existed, it would have come out by now.
Once you hit the teens on with chicks you're cheating
listen,
on, come
I-
on.
I hear
this
you.
Is what I was thinking at the time because it, so many of them in interviews said that they never used protection. And I was thinking, A, how stupid is that for a number of reasons for Tiger, for health reasons. But B, he's begging for child support payments for 18 years, right?
Well, apparently a journalist who helped Tiger hide most of his affairs has come forward to give a detailed account of Tiger's affair with one woman who would later give birth to his child. This journalist also says he has DNA evidence proving Tiger to be the father.
Wow.
You are the father, Tiger Woods. The claims are in a new documentary on Britain's Channel 4 called Tiger Woods, The Rise and Fall, which apparently airs this Thursday. So we need to find that out and get a copy of it. But the woman in question, her name is Teresa Rogers. Apparently she gave birth to a daughter in 2003 and demanded almost $3 million for her silence. And Tiger quickly said, do you take Amex?
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Slow jam.
I need to do a huge favor.
I miss this song.
It's so good.
Please, God, do me this way. Can you take your name off your phone? My wife has my phone, and when the baby calls, take your name off your phone.
By the way, I don't know if you guys have been following it, but Tiger has really been stinking up the golf course. Did he even make the cut in this last tournament? I know he was really, really sucking out.
I don't know. Golf for me is like one notch above soccer.
Is that still golf?
So,
how
I don't know.
Dare you?
But it's time to call Maury, figure out if he's the dad. Kesha is off my Christmas present list. No more. No more presents for you, Kesha.
You were sending her
Dude,
presents?
You don't know. We right. tight. Kesha revealed that she gives one nasty present to people that piss her off. She says, you know what? Sometimes I'll walk my dogs and full bags of massive dog S, and then she'll wrap them as Christmas presents and give them to people that bug her.
No, she's not
wow.
seriously doing
she's
that.
She's a delicate yes. little flower.
She also says, and this is just gross, that she has a habit of
Wait,
picking...
the last story wasn't gross?
Well, this is gross, too, that All she right. has a habit of picking for clothes in the garbage. She says, if I'm in Los Angeles and I find a pile of clothes lying on the side of the street that someone plans to throw out, I'll take it. I'm like a pirate on a treasure hunt. I think it's way
Don't
more
Don't mention that whore to me.
Wow.
That's just, no wonder she smells bad. She looks like she smells bad and she smells bad.
Yeah.
Right.
Charlie Sheen needs to get a low jack.
What's happening?
This has happened once in your lifetime and twice. TMZ has learned Charlie Sheen's car went over a cliff in the Hollywood Hills, but Charlie was not in the car, thank goodness, or neither was any member of his family. He was at home when police called to report the accident. Can you imagine that phone call? Hey, by the way, Charlie, your car, no longer in your driveway, but
right.
over a cliff.
So did it get taken from his house, or did he have another car just out there in the city somewhere that somebody was borrowing, or
Apparently,
what?
Apparently, fire and police responded to a call of a car ditching off the side of the road off Mulholland Drive at around 3 a.m., officers arrived on the scene and found a Mercedes at the bottom of the cliff, and they ran the registration, and obviously it was Charlie's ride. This happened 4 months ago, the same thing. According to TMZ, Charlie has a habit of leaving his keys in the ignition with the car parked in the driveway. But
right.
he lives in a gated community off Mulholland Drive, so it's not like we could just walk up to his house and jack his ride.
But
if they
went over the cliff in the same place, it's the same person.
It's got to be. That's unbelievable. I don't know if it's his neighbor or what, but you can't get into his community without, you know, going to those little fancy guard gates.
No, you can get over any gate.
All right, Kevin.
Not with a car, you can't, Kevin.
No,
but you can get out, Bean. You can get out with a car. You just can't get in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah.
Low jack. That's all.
And by the way, if that's his habit to leave his keys in the car, don't you stop that habit after your first car gets stolen and ends up in a ditch?
I would think.
You think, yeah.
That would be the reasonable thing to do.
This is weird.
It's got to be Denise Richards, right?
Yeah. More importantly, who needs a checkup? Anybody?
What kind of checkup?
Well, no. Dr. Conrad Murray's available.
Yeah. Can he help me sleep? I'm having a lot of trouble sleeping.
Just can't catch any Z's. He can still practice medicine. Yesterday afternoon, a judge ruled in favor of allowing Dr. Conrad Murray, if the name does not sound familiar, he is Michael Jackson's physician at the time of his death, allegedly caused his death. He's been allowed to continue to practice medicine. This is the fourth time. Fourth, the Office of California's Attorney General has tried to get Dr. Conrad suspended. The judge refused to revoke this decision made by the last judge. He says, I don't have the ability to revisit the actions of one of my colleagues. It doesn't have anything to do with how I feel or what I think. It has to do with the law and this court's ability to follow the law.
Mm. He's a delight.
He's a delight. Well, apparently he still has to stand trial, though, for the criminal charges against him. So let's see how good his medical license does him when he's been over in prison.
Hey, take it easy.
Whoa. I'm just saying.
Nice.
Just saying. Asshole.
No
sounds
more
like
problem.
Somebody. Sounds like somebody's trying to get on the jury.
No kidding.
Just saying. New CDs come out today. Something for Everybody by Devo, who were awesome at Weenie Roast. Those old guys can still rock, I got to say. Mojo by Tom Petty.
Can't wait.
And Seth MacFarlane's continued domination worldwide. He's got Family Guy Volume 8 out today and American Dad. Family Guy Volume 8, American Dad Volume 5. And Courtney Cox's birthday today. Ice Cube, happy birthday. Trombone player T-Bone Willie. NPH is 37. And for all you twitards, it's Elizabeth Reeser's birthday. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz V.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Don't get me started. It kind of sounds like a sad dying elephant, but it's a vuvuzela. You can't watch a minute of the World Cup this time around without getting a headache.
It's like a 2 foot long plastic horn and you blow like a trumpet. It doesn't just happen when someone scores and there's a huge celebration. That they lay down a bed of that for all 90 minutes.
Well, there's so many people in the stadium, right? So even a very small percentage could keep that going the whole time.
And you know what's funny is you can completely ignore it until you hear it. Like Alex, the producer, you know, our producer said, it's kind of like white noise. But once you hear it, then you go, okay, now I've heard it. Now it's
like
super annoying.
It's like the vein in Julia Roberts' head.
Right. When you didn't know about that, now it's all you can see.
Now I can't. Yeah,
here's a news piece on where they came from and FIFA trying to outlaw them before this World Cup.
No need to adjust your TVs or check for beads. Let me introduce you to the vuvuzela. It's a South African tradition, and fans blow them continuously at soccer matches from the start of the game to the very end. The vuvuzela came to the international attention during last year's 2009 FIFA Confederations Cup here in South Africa. However, the World Football Governing Body, FIFA, wanted to ban the use of them during this year's World Cup.
Now, I remember this, by the way. It was a huge outcry. No, you can't ban them. And they were like, no, it ruins the game. No way.
Because of concerns that hooligans could use the instrument as a weapon and that businesses could place advertisements on them. But the South African Football Association made a case that they were essential for an authentic South African football experience. And FIFA decided in July 2008 to drop the ban, allowing them for the Confederations Cup and the World Cup. So South Africa may not win this year's World Cup, but their fans will continue to be heard to the very end.
Their fans blow.
Yeah, see what you did?
Hey, I heard an organizer for the World Cup who was saying that it's a small minority of people who are protesting the vuvuzelas. Most people love it. And I find that so hard to believe.
Because it's a lie.
The BBC, by the way, who is carrying, obviously, the World Cup in Britain, is investigating. They're looking into a separate feed, different coverage on television and radio, where they have filtered out the sound of the vuvuzela because they're getting so many complaints.
Awesome.
That's how annoying it is for the home viewer.
Can I get that channel?
I don't think you can. But, you know, now that it's been on the world stage like this, the Vuvuzela, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are buying them and falling in love with it. And it's going to be at all soccer matches from now on.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I'm afraid so.
Oh, wow.
Let's call South Africa.
Okay.
I think we need
Who are we calling? Somebody who has something to do with the horn or no?
What, you looked that up in the Yellow Pages?
I don't know. I thought maybe
somebody
we had,
that has something to do with the horn.
I thought maybe we were we had a phone number on somebody who has, I don't know, any kind of interaction with the actual World Cup. But no just a random South African. Okay. Ooh, maybe it'll be Charlize Theron. If she answers, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to happen as well.
You don't know, man. If we're calling randomly.
His of two, anyone I know.
His two options are somebody that has something to do with the horns. Or Charlize Theron.
Yes.
We're calling a bar, the Voodoo Lounge.
Perfect.
This is in Johannesburg, I think. I could try and talk about it a bit.
Okay.
I think
this person who answers may be going to the cup and may be taking a horn, so we can at least take one out of the mix.
Right, exactly.
How do you feel like it's going so far?
Not as good
like
as
they
I hope.
Always do.
we haven't done Kevin Abid call international in a long time, and now maybe I'm remembering why. But
now let's try the Cat's Pajamas. Let's try that one. Cat's Pajamas restaurant.
That
bar.
Is a, oh,
restaurant,
it's a bar. Okay.
Restaurant slash bar. Yeah, they're 9 hours ahead, right? So this would make sense. There should be people there.
Yeah.
I would so watch the channel where they had muted out the horns. So, I don't know. I could hear the announcers. And by the way, I think the players do. And I guess this is just like a very loud. I guess this is just like, you know. I guess it's the same as at very loud NFL stadiums that players on the field can't hear calls. They can't communicate with one another because it's 132 decibels in the stadium. I guess that actually affects the play at this point.
Cats, good evening.
Hi, is this the Cat's Pajamas restaurant and bar?
Yes, it is.
Hi, we're calling from America about the World Cup. How are you today, ma'am?
I'm very well, thank you.
We have been watching with a great deal of interest the games that have been going on in your beautiful country, but we are being driven crazy by the Vuvuzela. What's going on with the horn, and how can we stop it?
Why are you phoning out to ask me that?
We don't know anyone in South Africa, so frankly, we're just dialing randomly, but we figure you're there. You have more to do with it than we do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
you can't swear at us. Hey, we're on your side. We like South Africa.
She just said, for those of you, everyone, because we had to get out of delay, I'm going to effing kill you. I didn't expect that.
Not at all.
But you didn't hang up on her, did you?
I did.
Oh, okay.
She said, I'm going to effing kill you.
That's extreme, right?
What's going on?
Oh, my God.
Now I think the horns are the least of our problem.
Who knew?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. It's us, Kevin and Bean. You know, I love it when bad things happen to bad people. And I couldn't be happier to see Perez Hilton possibly facing 15 years in jail. Does anyone deserve going to jail more than Perez Hilton? For lots of reasons, before you've even heard this story. Doesn't it seem like Perez Hilton is a guy who ought to be sent to jail anyway?
Well, yeah.
The only reason I would say no is that he would enjoy it so much. Here's what happened, guys. Over the weekend, Miley Cyrus was getting out of a car. And, you know, Miley can't go anywhere without the paparazzi taking a million photos. And right. As sometimes happens when you get out of the car in a skirt, you may show more than you intended.
Right.
Especially when you got cameras right there, you know, trying to look up your hoo-ha. Well, Miley Cyrus was getting out of the car with no underwear. So now you're getting into an area where you're talking about someone who's under 18 being nude. Okay?
Right.
Maybe if you take that picture, you don't put it on the internet, because then you bring child pornography charges on yourself.
So everyone else didn't, because
yes.
They said, hey, she's 17.
Right. Illegal, right.
And then Perez Hilton said, let's do it.
Perez Hilton tweeted it with a little warning that said, if you're easily offended, don't click here. You know, he mentioned that it was a Miley Cyrus item, and then you click on it and you see her vagina. Yeah. So, you know, people have been talking about it. A Los Angeles-based attorney named Jeffrey Douglas is quoted in this article, who says that you don't even have to know the law. If you knowingly put up a photo of an underage person, you are, you know, you could go to jail for it.
Oops.
So, bad times for Perez Hilton. And I imagine, well, if it were anyone other than Miley Cyrus, I would say bad times for Miley Cyrus, too. But frankly, I don't think she cares who sees what.
Well, if she did, she'd put on underwear.
Right, exactly. That is beyond stupid. I mean, it doesn't seem like how this works now.
Yeah, she's been in the press for a lot of time. She knows the paparazzi.
And listen, he's had lots of run-ins with lots of legal problems because he puts up things that are questionable. So he knew.
Well, you would think.
You would think
that he would have been smart enough to not do that. Now, Perez and Miley Cyrus, I think, have had a fairly warm relationship up till this point. But I don't know if that's going to matter because I don't know if this is one of those deals where the quote-unquote victim has to be involved in bringing charges or if it's something that the city attorney can just say, whether Miley wants to or not, we're going to charge this guy for child pornography. Look, there are going to be plenty of these shots whenever Miley's birthday is.
Right.
However many months away that is, you're going to get, everybody's going to get a chance to see your vagina, okay? You just got to wait, Perez.
She's going to shave her head. It's all going to happen, and we're all going to watch it. But let's wait till she's 18. That's all we're saying. The most watched on-demand movie ever. On-demand has only been 3-4 years?
At the most,
5 years, maybe? Top 10, Juno. Number 9, Bride Wars. Number 8, Knocked Up. Number 7, Taken. Number 6, The Unfortunate Alvin and the Chipmunks. Number 5, The Proposal. Number 4, Four Christmases. Number 3, Gran Torino. Number 2, Twilight. Number 1.
Yes.
The most watched on-demand movie ever. The Hangover.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. Mm-hmm. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
Right.
But when my sister brought Doug home, I knew he was one of my own. Mm-hmm. And my wolf pack, it grew by one.
Mm-hmm.
So were there two of us? There were two of us in the wolf pack.
Right.
I was alone first in the pack, and then Doug joined in later.
Right.
And now I know for sure I just added two more guys to my wolf pack.
Okay.
Four of us wolves.
All right.
Running around the desert together in Las Vegas looking for strippers and cocaine.
I have watched that movie, I'm going to say, 12 times.
Really? Already? It's been out a year?
It's
wow.
Awesome. That's a great movie.
Okay. Larry King has a talk show on CNN. He just celebrated his 25th anniversary of hosting that program, but the ratings have not been good. And Larry, let's be honest, he's old.
He's old and is losing his mind.
They're starting to talk a lot about replacing him. In fact, one newspaper in Britain, the Daily Telegraph, is already reporting that Piers Morgan, who the judge, he's that British guy who judges on America's Got Talent, has signed a 4-year, $8 million deal to host the show, and that he will be replacing Larry King. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that I follow Larry King's Twitter account. And
he can't possibly be the one doing it, though, can he?
Well, I've heard him asked about that, and he says that he dictates his tweets, and then he has somebody else type them in. But you tell me if this is a guy who ought to be hosting a program on CNN, the international news channel of record. Here are a few of Larry's recent tweets, okay? Right. Does this sound like a guy who you want behind the microphone? How do they make string cheese? One of Larry's questions he recently tweeted.
We have a guy like that on this show.
That's a good point.
At a movie theater, which armrest is yours? Tweeted Larry. When people say they got off on the wrong foot, which foot is the wrong foot?
Oh, shut up. God, I hate him.
If diamonds aren't a girl's best friend, what is?
Wow.
Here's one more. I just fed my dog, and on the dog food bag, it says delicious. How do they know?
Oh, he's trying so hard to be witty.
Hey, Bean, you know you're feeling right now, right this second. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
Can you zero in on it, that feeling?
What are you suggesting? Been there?
We live there. And that's our response to your tweets and your thanks for that info, Bean. I just want you to...
You're twittering. You. Oh, come on.
Open your eyes.
I see.
Amy Winehouse's new boyfriend seems to be a great influence on her. The British tabloid London Sun reports Reg Travis is his name. Is not pleased with her alcoholic tendencies.
Really? Because it seems like she'd be a lot of fun when she's plastered.
So she went against her own song and went to a rehab. She went to the London Clinic to dry out over the weekend.
Well, everybody knows, and Mike, you can back me up on this, anyone can get sober in a weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 days.
That's all it takes.
That's about the extent. That's maximum. That's what they recommend, maximum.
One insider said when she's sober, they get along brilliantly, but all things change after a drink or two. Really?
That's like 10 minutes. You can't tell in 10 minutes how you get along with someone.
Yeah, true.
That's as long as she's ever sober.
Excellent point.
Here's a
job opportunity if you have wanted to be in showbiz, and in particular, if you've wanted to work for MTV. It's been a long time since they've been looking for people publicly, but they are wanting to hire a Twitter jockey. They're on the lookout for what they call a social media maven, somebody who will be the link between the network's executives and the viewers. Now, 18 candidates have already been chosen, and now the audience is asked to fill the last two slots. They're going to have 20 people in contention for this job. The 20 candidates are going to compete with each other in a series of online challenges with the final five in a live showdown. There can be nothing more exciting than watching people tweet, right?
Oh, that's going to be great.
That's going to be on August 8th. The winner is going to be named MTV's official TJ. Not a DJ, not a VJ, but a TJ, a Twitter jockey, will be hired full-time and will also be seen on MTV every now and then. So if that sounds like something you think you'd be good at, you can go to MTV.com and get all the details on how you can apply.
And they'll show you typing?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. Hey, before we get out of here, we do have one more awesome thing to give away. Psycho Mike, you are going to be down at Universal Studios on Friday, July 2nd. You are going to be taking a private tram ride with Kevin and Mean listeners to experience the new King Kong 360 3D attraction. How about that?
Yes.
Nicely put.
It all burned up, as you remember, so they decided to rebuild it bigger and better than ever before, and it is supposed to be amazing. You don't just see it and hear it. You will actually feel it because it's in 3D, don't you know? And the rest of life is just not. So that's why this is awesome. If you want to go with Psycho Mike and be there, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it caller 20 this hour to join Psycho Mike at Universal. You'll have another chance to enter. Go to kevinandbean.com for all the details.
All right. Celebrity birthdays are on a piece of paper that I don't have.
I can help you out with that as I tell you that Oscar-winning actress Helen Hunt turns 47 today. The star of Cougar Town, Courtney Cox. Cox!
We got
is 46.
Courtney!
Actor Jim Belushi, who was on that According to Jim show for like 9 years, is 56 years old today. Actor Jake Busey turns 39. Neil Patrick Harris, star of How I Met Your Mother, is 37 today. Isn't it weird that he's only 37? Because he's been a star for as long as I can remember, because he started so young on the Doogie Howser. Leah Remini is 40 today. Ice Cube turns 41. And from Twilight, Elizabeth Reeser is 35. And that is the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Hey, by the way, Larry King should be the MTV tweet jock.
There you go.
Put those two stories together. You got yourself a match.
That's a great idea.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Adam Sessler in the studio from G4. He's going to be talking about the E3 convention.
Ah.
What's with Lil Wayne? Are those his real teeth? I can see Larry doing that now.
We'll tell you a little bit more about Dr. Conrad Murray and how he has been reinstated to practice medicine in the state of California. Great news.
This kid, Justin Bieber, gets on my nerves. What's with his haircut?
Something called the human centipede wrap.
How about that Kim Kardashian? Are those real or what?
And we're going to talk to the guy who came up. I believe it's an app. Bean, is it an app or just a program for a computer? But it's called Shaved Bieber.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Not Bieber. Not Bieber. Bieber.
Oh.
Yes.
Sorry.
And it will edit out any mention of Justin Bieber as you go through your day on the web.
Internet or whatever?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Literally, we'll just block all mentions of.
That's a big job.
Yeah. No kidding.
There are people who feel that there is too much Bieber online, and this is their way to take a stand and fight it.
So we'll talk to that guy tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Hey, don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including one for the ladies called Rape Me. Also, the new solo song from Brandon Flowers of the Killers. It's called Crossfire. She'll be playing that for her. We got some Muse, Incubus, Stained, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.